following is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mike Show, Child of the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Eric's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production, please.
It's a variety show. I do a little bit of everything. I do some singing, some dancing, some chatting with the guests, the skits, the monologues, the comedy.
Hey, what's poppin'? It's the DealsInTheD.com studios, and another week begins with the Drew and Mike Show, brought to you by Mesa Tequila and Tacos. It's actually Tacos and Tequila between 3rd and 4th on Main Street in Royal Oak. One of the largest and best patios in the city with both outdoor and indoor seating. Just warm up, for Christ's sake. Beautiful Mexican food, tasty. And let's see. Oh, it's made fresh every day.
Oh.
Mexican fusion delicacies, handcrafted cocktails, fresh squeezed margaritas while basking in the warm sunshine. Also, the 35-foot screen, 150 tequilas at Mesa Tacos and Tequilas. 10% off. Just mention the Drew and Mike Show. And we've got the skeleton crew here recording with Mark and Brandon. And
intimate.
It was an interesting pile of events over the weekend. One being Tony Robbins being Me Too'd.
Oh, yeah. I'm not surprised.
I'm not at all surprised. You know, these gurus, these...
It's a cult.
It's a cult. No, it is like a cult. I'm starting to feel that half the population's in a cult. I've probably told you this before, but... You know,
are you counting religion as cults?
In some cases, depends. But also, I see married people who are in cults. There's one person who is really running them.
Oh, that's just marriage, Drew.
Nah, it's more than that. They'll even take on their viewpoints and their political philosophies, and they start spewing all this stuff, and then all of a sudden, it's like, I can't stand this.
Really?
It blows up, and then all of a sudden, they're back to their old self.
Oh, that's weird.
That was bullshit. Well, not all marriages. Not all marriages. I just mean, I've seen that, where it seems like, God, this person seems different to me. I just think there's a lot of smaller cults that we don't really think of as cults, but they're almost like cults. Tony Robbins, however, is a huge cult. And that story was very interesting. And it seems to me that once somebody gets a lot of power and a lot of money, they just seem to almost lose their minds over themselves. And, you know, we see it in the YouTube stars. These guys who all of a sudden feel like, hey, I can get dick pics from 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds.
It's really interesting, though, how Robbins used...
Or I can give dick pics to 14-year-olds.
I am nothing without my following.
But Robbins really used the self-help aspect of his business to really push some of these misconduct allegations forward.
Well, I was more interested in the fact that he's assaulting people sexually. He's using his position for
it's a power
sexual
position.
Favors.
Because he's just, you know, he's trying to break them down.
Well, there's more to do with, you know, who he is and the fact that he has lots of power. And also, you know, when you can charge someone $85,000 for your motivational.
What?
Yeah, $85,000 memberships some people pay to be in that stupid thing.
Does this ruin the movie Shallow Hell? Am I not allowed to watch Shallow Hell now?
I thought that was my first
That's
thought.
That's all I think of when I think of Tony Robbins.
Was the elevator scene where he's like, oh my God, he got a really big head.
It's like shaking a bunch of bananas.
I love Jack Black.
You know, I've always... seen these guys like Tony Robbins who, Tony Robbins is speaking. And I was like, I'm not going to go watch Tony. He's not going to chew up an hour of my life. Are you kidding me?
Some people must get something out of it.
They think they do. They're in a cult. They think they do. If they believe they do, maybe they do.
Here's one of the things that he did. There was one seminar.
A lot of people, by the way, are standing up for him and saying, oh, no. This is just a
quote. Yeah, so they got
just trying to bring him down.
Yeah, he's well.
Great
guy. He's teaching people to go after what you want. That's what he was doing. Really? One seminar, he told the crowd to imagine they were having an orgasm, which I don't know why that. What does that have to do with self-help? He then stepped down and whispered in this girl's ear, "I want to see you have an orgasm." She said, "I'm not showing you anything. Gross."
Well, I think sometimes when you develop that kind of power, you just want to see how far you take it.
Nice that in the middle of this self-help seminar production, he was thinking with his dick for a second.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Oh.
I also had a law firm who was, you know, I love the way people use the law these days because it's so commonplace now. Lavely and Shipley or Singer, Lavely and Singer, who are very powerful. And in 2007, someone started a website where they were taking anonymous accusations against Tony Robbins. And this thing was getting a little momentum, and all of a sudden it just, it just disappeared. And then, check the domain. Lavely and Singer own it.
Oh,
Lavely and Singer have the domain now.
Really?
Yeah. And some of the people that BuzzFeed, and, you know, God bless BuzzFeed for taking a chance or two.
When they're not making lists.
They started the R. Kelly thing. That's what really got that off the ground.
Yeah, because they'll publish anything. They're not beholden to anyone.
They have the balls to do it if the work is well done. And frequently, it really doesn't matter what the person says or what the journalist is able to uncover. If you have enough power and you have big attorneys and they bring the full brunt of their power down, a lot of people just scatter because they realize, I'll go out of business if I fight this thing.
Yeah.
So I'll just capitulate, forget it. And that's what they tried to do. They quickly were able to identify the people in the BuzzFeed story. Three of them withdrew their names because Lavely and Singer told them that your life will be changed within 48 hours if you go through with this.
Threat.
And another one was told that
the truth on their side,
that this could cost them tens of millions of dollars to follow through with these accusations.
Oh, they would just sue.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one wants to be sued.
I got so many death threats.
The winners are always the lawyers.
And BuzzFeed themselves were told that, let's see, let me find that, because that was a very interesting quote and very typical.
Here's another portion. A former event manager and his former personal chef recalled hearing colleagues describe how the security team would pluck women from the audience on his behalf.
Hey, just like David Lee Roth. Except he's not David Lee Roth, he's Tony Robbins.
Oh, what?
He thinks he's a rock star.
Security would then take him up to his room.
You're not a rock star, Tony Robbins. You developed a good line of bullshit.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. You're not a rock star. Shut up. Knock it off. People aren't dying to fuck Tony Robbins.
Ew.
No, that's what I mean. He thinks, you see a crowd like that and you think, hey, I'm like a rock star. I might as well be Mick Jagger. No, you're Tony Robbins. You're a huckster.
You like what you see.
He thinks he's hot, too.
It's like a perfect setup, though, because I'm just trying to help you.
Oh, yeah, right.
Did you read this entire story?
I read the whole thing.
It was so long.
BuzzFeed, by the way, themselves, Lavely and Singer, threatened legal action that would have a devastating effect on the conditions of BuzzFeed and its investors. So, you know, when you throw something out there like that, you really have to weigh, you know what, we've really nailed this thing down. We have multiple sources, but this is a big law firm. This is a guy who has more money than we can even imagine. And what if he does hurt? What if our investors do start pulling out? What if we're not able to continue publishing? Is it worth it? I mean, this is what people face all the time.
If they ever really file anything.
Yeah, if they do, sometimes it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't matter what the truth is. It's just not worth it. So, you know, what an asshole. And I want to get mad at the attorneys, and I realize they're doing what they're supposed to do, but I don't know. In this case, for example, you know, attorneys are advocates, and they will always say, there was no underage sex between R. Kelly. If anyone says there was, they're lying. No, you're an advocate. You don't know that. You weren't there. Michael Jackson's rock doc that we had on, by the way, he doesn't know.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
I've never even heard his name. Right. I never heard his name before I saw the rock doc book, and I'm not saying his book isn't interesting. It is. But for him to say that, no, it never happened. I never saw anything. Yeah, were you in the bedroom with him?
Yeah.
Did you spend the night? Were you in the bed, too, with Macaulay and Kiernan?
I mean, does he not want to say it? Because then people are going to be like, you should have spoken up. So it's almost plausible deniability.
But to say, I mean, he's essentially saying that two guys made Leaving Neverland are liars.
Yeah.
They made it up for money. Why doesn't he just go ahead and say that too? I mean, seriously,
he doesn't want to go that far. Because he doesn't want to get sued by them.
I think Michael Jackson is intoxicating, too. It's exciting to work for Michael Jackson.
Well, yeah.
And so,
choo-choo-choo.
Yeah.
And when it turns out that he liked to, you know, give blowjobs to 10-year-olds, maybe it's not as exciting. It makes the story a little less exciting. So, what?
You never blew him. He just, did you ever blow him?
Yeah, I think he did. They blew him.
Yeah.
I think that makes it a little less exciting to be Michael Jackson's doctor or Michael Jackson's security guard or whatever. So maybe
the check still clears.
People are a little less reluctant to want to believe that. And that's probably human nature.
Well, I think with this story, though, Tony Robbins, his best case is just to attack and go after BuzzFeed. Because like what Mark said, they're known for making lists. What donut are you? Yeah. And stuff like that. Plus, they got in trouble earlier when they had that report on Trump. And then there was a bunch of stuff that was inaccurate. And they had to change their story.
Which story was that? I'm trying to remember what that was.
It was the one that basically said Trump had directed Michael Cohen to lie to Congress.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And it immediately got attacked, and I believe that they had to make some update.
I was just trying to think of, racking my brain, going back to where did this whole attack the person, where does that go? Where does that emanate from? Because it's been going on a long time. But it was something that definitely, I want to say it started in politics, where if someone said something bad about you, all of a sudden, you know, like the bimbo eruption list for the Clinton election, where they dug up all that dirt on all those girls, and then it became, you know, after that it's just commonplace. Anybody says anything bad about somebody, and they'll find something on them, especially with social media now.
That's always happened in politics back in the muckraking days and
propaganda.
I don't think necessarily your opponents were always, you know, doxed. The bimbo eruption list was a, you know, and even as you go further into it, when new people came, Paula Jones, she's a tool of the right. Well, whatever party she's on, I mean, actually, the Republic that just. They printed her story. She didn't know they were going to print her story.
But well, so they just used
she's first, part of the right.
And they just use her first name and then another.
Yeah, I think someone else
was.
Yeah, they figured it out. But she wasn't someone trying to bring him down politically.
Yeah. But it's, you know, a lot of people don't know that at the time.
So no, I know. So you just say it. Back. You just say, yeah, you just start
becomes
attacking.
True.
Just attack the person who is making the accusation.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to think of a good case or two before Bill Clinton. They're not coming to me. They're probably out there. But that was a really organized.
Well, did Kennedy
do it? We need the bimbo eruption list. All of them.
Did Ted Kennedy do it? Or just trying to think of other scandals back in the day.
No, I don't think they
tried. Nixon claimed the media was the enemy. And
well, the media is. That's an old topic. I don't think they personally so much. There have always been bad political ads. You know, the idea that politics had become ugly in the last 2 years is like,
it's laughable.
It almost feels like Trump. You know, this is what we deserve after all the bullshit, you know, from Willie Horton on. I mean, the things that have determined elections are embarrassing. But anyway, I'm going to change directions just real quickly because I saw something last night. I keep hearing this statement, and we've heard it so many times. I don't know why it never struck me this way. I was watching SNL last night, and Leslie Jones made a personal statement about Alabama's abortion law. And it, what's terrible is I dreamweavered it when I was watching the show. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of like, this bit's going on a long time. I'm not really paying attention. Leslie Jones being funny almost seems like a narrative to me. I don't really think she's funny, but she's sort of bawdy.
I think she's all right.
She's not somebody I would go pay to see.
I like her physical comedy.
Yeah, every now and then she's okay, but I feel like there's this Leslie Jones is great narrative out there, and I don't think she's great. I mean, I guess she for a SNL person, she's fine. But CNN was playing the clip of, and Leslie Jones got personal on Saturday Night Live last night speaking about the abortion issue. And she said, why do men care what women do with their bodies? And I don't know why, but it just, when I saw it on CNN, I was like,
You need a guy to create an embryo.
Well, but we hear this said all the time. Why are men telling women what to do with their bodies?
Yeah.
And the fact is, and I don't, you know, I'm not trying to take any sides here, but, you know, when there's a baby in a woman's body, it's not wanting to tell women about what to do with their bodies. And I'm not trying to make excuses for the pro-life people either, but, you know, to be concerned about
the future of a baby inside a body. This is really heavy. Yeah. I really didn't want to go there. But it's not, it's a, you know what? I want to tell women what to do with their body. No, there's a baby in there. Mm-hmm. It's a little more complicated. And I don't know, I'm not sure, why does that line work so well? Because anytime someone says to people, ah, in the crowd last night, if we played it back, I think the crowd goes crazy when she says that.
Well, it's probably because it does it seem a little weird that all these, that these men are making these rules? I don't know.
What they do, though, is they show the graphic of everybody that voted for it, and they're all white males.
Right. But, no, I understand as far as the law. But this law is not the first time they said, why do men want to tell women what to do with their bodies? We've heard, I mean, yeah, tell me you haven't heard that a million times when this debate comes up.
I guess maybe.
I mean, am I wrong? Am I crazy? Is that the first time anyone said it? God, was last night? No, I've heard it a million times.
Years and years.
And I'm personally, I would say I'm pro-choice.
I mean, it doesn't affect a guy per se.
But if then it's again, his baby, it does.
If it's his baby, yeah.
Yeah.
But
and some people, I mean, if you're a human being.
But as far as someone across the street getting an abortion right now, it doesn't affect me one bit.
No, I don't really think about it. Oh, but I know, the idea but that someone would be concerned about this issue mm-hmm. of when an abortion happens or if it happens at all, I don't think that's trying to tell women what to do with their bodies. I think that's usually a concern with human life, isn't it?
I would agree
it?
With that.
Yeah, okay. So I guess I don't understand why that line works so well.
Well, just what I was saying, because they'll never have an abortion. So it's never a decision a guy's going to have to make. That's why that line works for whoever
I know,
wants
but
to
the,
buy it.
But the idea that men should... Don't concern yourself with a fucking baby!
No, is, I know, but I think...
It's what it sounds like sometimes.
Well, it sounds like that to you, but I'm the audience that accepts that line, it sounds like, well, they're never going to have to deal with an abortion, so of course they don't know what they're talking
well,
about.
Well, no, a lot... To be honest, men, an abortion, the person who's involved, it affects them quite a bit because either A, they might want the baby, which I agree, it's not up to the guy. I totally agree with that. But B, if she decides to have the baby, yeah, it sure does involve that guy.
Yeah.
Because he's the father. And it's not only his job to support that baby, but, you know, and we never got into this, and I didn't even, what, why do we keep talking about
it? Not the father.
Why do I keep bringing up abortion?
I don't know.
When it's the last thing in the world I want to talk about?
I know, especially when Game of Thrones is ending.
It's on tonight. Can't talk about it today.
No, but the world's lost its mind over it.
I know, but well, let's wait till it plays, or till we can see it before.
Till after Brandon sees his therapist. Did you know there's therapist offering?
Is there really?
Yeah, sessions.
Oh god. You know,
look, I don't mind. I'm happy that it's over tonight because the series has been on and on and on, and I just kind of want to know the conclusion. No one's going to be happy. You're not going to make 100% of people happy about anything. However,
they claim a lot of. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm going to read the books if they ever get finished. I doubt they will, but that'll be my conclusion. I'm not really too crazy about if the show sucks or not. I personally enjoy.
It'll be enjoyable. It'll fall short, but it'll be enjoyable.
But I do have a big eye roll for all the people that are complaining. But whatever.
There's a petition. What are you talking about?
I know.
100 million signatures, Drew.
I'm sure they're going to redo the series.
If they redid the pilot.
Completely lost my train of thought.
Sorry. Abortion.
No, I know, but something about abortion. Some part of this whole argument.
Guys having a say in abortion.
No, we already talked about that.
Leslie Jones.
No.
I'm sorry. Can we rewind?
No.
Is there a way to rewind?
No.
You just said why. I don't know why we're talking about abortion.
I know, but then there was something I was going to say that
sorry.
Was also it's part of the new law.
Oh, well, the three factors, you know, women's the life of the mother.
I don't remember.
No. Okay. Let's just let it go. Fuck abortion. Let's not talk about it anymore. Who cares?
It's gone. Just don't worry about it.
We're not supposed to care. I'm a guy. I'm not supposed to care. How dare I say what anybody should should do with a baby living in another human being?
I don't care. I truly, really don't.
No, honestly, if it's not your baby, you probably don't. Well, no, some people
don't. It's
not something I sit around thinking about very often, but this topic, I mean, it just keeps pounding. It's been the lead story for how many days now? Like five days?
Yeah.
And it's a big story. I get it. It is kind of a...
There's something
but
about
you know what, Drew?
Unwanted babies the being
idea
all over the place.
Of people, you know, giving someone having an abortion in Montana and flying back to Alabama and being arrested and getting 99.
That is
or actually, the doctor would get
99. States' rights! I mean, that's just ludicrous.
States' rights!
you go over imaginary line.
But you know what? In
come
a
back
year,
across the imaginary line.
There'll be a couple days where it's top news again. In 5 years, there's going to be top news again. This is one of those topics that just always comes around and it is never 100% solvable. Never.
No, it's not. It's unsolvable, as is the Second Amendment And speaking of the Second Amendment.
Oh, Lord. All the fun topics
here's
today.
A good one. Janelle Evans from Teen Mom. And there's another topic I don't want to talk about. I don't want to talk about this. These idiots. Why are these idiots allowed such attention? Well, here I am giving her attention. They went to court to fight the Child Protective Services, which took the three kids away because he shot the dog. And what do you know? When they're leaving the court, somebody takes a picture, and it looks like there's a revolver on the dashboard of their car.
Sunday fun day with these idiots.
And, Mark, you said, well, is there open carry?
I don't know.
And frankly,
I don't know why that would be illegal.
I'm not sure. Wasn't the revolver in the car while they were in the courtroom?
Yes.
Okay.
They're sending a message.
Is that okay to leave a gun? Now, what if some felon comes along, breaks a windshield, grabs a gun, and shoots up the courtroom?
Well, you can't stop him.
Well, the gun's sitting in the fucking, it's viewable.
I don't know what the
law is.
I think
that's a very common way that guns end up getting stolen, is that people find them in vehicles, then you have to report them.
Well, this is a guy going to protest the fact that his children were taken away from him, and a fucking gun is sitting on his dashboard. I mean, is anyone looking into this? I mean, I would think that maybe the people involved in this case, it's legal to leave your gun sitting on the dashboard while you go to court to fight for your children.
I just think that depending on the open carry laws in that state, it's probably legal.
Are you allowed to drive with a gun out in the open?
Yeah, I think so. Look at the Texans. They keep them right on their belt.
Yeah,
but he's not in the car.
I mean, you can't cross state lines, but I'm pretty sure.
So if I live in North Carolina, I can go to court to fight for custody of my kids because I shot my dog.
I think you have.
And I leave the gun. I have to leave the gun in the dashboard where everyone can see it. So in case someone, if there's a crime in the parking lot, I can easily get my gun.
But to Brandon's point, how is that any different than having a gun rack in the car?
Well, the gun is visible in the. I mean, I would have thought you'd have to put it in the trunk or something. Okay, call me fucking crazy, I guess. I don't know. I'm asking.
A freaking 12 gauge. What do you think?
Why is everyone printing a picture that's going, oh my God, there's a gun in the dashboard?
Well, because he just murdered a dog and.
Well, but you're allowed to do it. It's open carry. So what's the picture for?
That and because he's been going on this rant on Instagram and on other social media where he's just kind of going ape shit on guns recently. Here, I'll play a little bit of it.
Cool. So Instagram, since you're so fucking mad, send the fucking FBI to my house. I'm gonna upload a lot more gun videos. Oh. And you know what? I got a gun on my hip.
Oh, this is an influencer,
by the
way.
Fuck you, FBI.
Who's the FBI?
So since y'all are so concerned that I put hashtag Trump and hashtag Nancy Pelosi, why don't you go tell them bitches not to start banning guns? Then maybe people won't put hashtag their name.
Way, who's banning guns?
I guess y'all didn't know. I keep stockpiles of ammunition.
Oh, great.
Just enough to blow shit into pieces on any given.
Thank God they took those kids.
How many likes?
A lot of ammo.
Pause for a second.
Also keep stockpiles.
This is pretty much the worst video ever made.
How many likes?
It is one view, and it says it was uploaded at 6 a.m. this morning.
This isn't on YouTube. This is so I'd have to do.
It's on TMZ. I think they cobbled a couple Instagram videos together.
Large capacity magazines.
Oh, good for you.
Of everything.
Cool.
He's got a lot of fucking ammo.
I mean, that's pretty fucking amazing.
Of ammunition
how
for.
Neat.
They didn't want to go.
Also got some poison dart frogs.
Oh!
I just rubbed these little jewels on their back.
Fun.
And these ones too. These are a little different. I've also.
Well, there goes Ensley. There's Ensley's first year of tuition out the window.
Now you see
your
service,
Janelle yelling in the background.
You wouldn't have came down here if my gate was closed.
Huh?
And if you did, I would have started shooting at you because I wouldn't know who you was.
Oh,
are you going to come back? I don't think so.
Huh. Okay, he's talking to the police there, correct?
Secret Service.
Secret Service.
He's threatening the Secret Service.
Okay, threatening the Secret Service. Now, wouldn't that, I would think, okay, is this a North Carolina thing?
I don't know.
Is that okay to do that? To tell Secret Service you're going to shoot them?
Apparently. Hey, his gate was open.
I don't understand. This is on Instagram. It probably has a gazillion likes, and he's got a million followers. Okay, whatever.
He loves his guns.
If this guy fucking kills someone, I don't want anyone complaining.
He already killed a dog. You're saying he might kill somebody? Well, that's why they're taking the kids away, Drew.
Well, I agreed with that. I think
this dude's going to end up like fucking rich.
He's a nutcase. The sheriff said He thinks he's the most scary person in three counties down there. And they said they were going to go in and take the third child away, but they were afraid to go in. In other words, they thought there would be a standoff because, well, there,
there
you
would
go.
Be. I can
he's
see him doing
telling
that.
Them,
he looks
if
like
you
the
come
standoff
in here,
type.
If you come in here and I don't know who you are, I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah. I can see him having a standoff.
Oh, I could.
They want our guns!
I could see him prepping.
I could absolutely see him having stand-up. I can't believe, is there a gun-owning person listening to this who's going, how dare you come down on David Easley's right?
Well, maybe, but I don't think he's the best poster child for
no,
the
No, that's
Second
my point.
Amendment.
I don't think there's any law-abiding Second Amendment-loving person or gun-owning person who thinks this guy is a good thing.
I would think a majority of gun owners would
this, he strikes
not
me
want
as,
him to have and act the way he does and have, well, I don't know. Maybe
I would
he
say,
can have whatever he wants, but okay, not act the way he acts.
Call me crazy, but when he shoots his dog, my initial thinking is no more guns for you.
Or dogs.
I don't mm-hmm. think, yeah, no more guns, no more dogs, no more kids.
That'd be great. Where is the star chamber?
I mean, I've had buddies who've had to put their dogs down with guns before, but not, it's not in a...
Well, Old Yeller.
Because they nipped at someone who tried to kiss them on the lips?
No, in the cases of my friends, like we watched his dog get hit by a car and it was suffering, so they shot it in the back.
Well, that's not the same thing.
They totally
he shot
that's
a dog.
A mercy, right. Yeah.
This is a dog he said was dangerous, yet he let a 2-year-old who was hanging out with the dog by itself and went to try to kiss the dog in the lips, and the dog nipped it, didn't break a bit of skin. It's a French bulldog.
I
it's
told
a $2,000 dog.
I told you about the guy I met when Annie was in the hospital. I met a guy who was there because they were having a party. And the pit bull attacked his friend's daughter, and so he shot the dog. Like, he's telling me the whole story. The difference is that 8-year-old girl had to be airlifted to the hospital because she was in such dire straits.
They would have forced that dog to be put down in anyway. But
which one?
The dog that forced that.
David Eason's or the other, my example?
Your example. They would have forced that dog to be put down.
I know, but he killed the dog to get it away from the girl.
This guy is a menace.
Point being, he overreacts.
Also, he also assaulted his wife, so he shouldn't have a gun anyway. Domestic abusers, or is North Carolina different? Maybe North Carolina's different. I don't know. But oh, and then I forgot. She said she made it up.
Yeah.
She said she made it up.
You know what they are?
Did I sound like Elvis there? She made it up. She made it up.
By the goddamn roots. She made it up.
I've been shot.
The goddamn roots.
Oh, God, these fucking idiot people. Okay, so there are other things, important things going on.
That is dangerous. That is damaging to myself, to my little daughter, to my father, to my friends, my doctor. Everybody in my relationship with you, my relationship with up here on the stage, it is dangerous. I will pull your goddamn tongue out by the roots.
Just love the applause after that.
Oh, God.
I do want to get to A-Rod sitting on the toilet.
Sitting on the toilet? You mean on turd base, as the New York Post called it?
Sitting on the toilet. Sitting on a toilet.
That's the opening paragraph in today's story.
Has everyone seen this picture?
After he was photographed sitting on turd base. This is in the New York Post.
It's too funny.
And as Bentley pointed out, or as somebody pointed out in the emails, the New York Post would not print the photo because of their high journalistic ethics.
So classy of them.
Nobody
but they have him sitting on turd base.
Deadspin wouldn't either, and so they just painted it.
But anybody can see
they
it. It's
painted
all, yes,
it. They painted the picture.
The painting of the picture of A-Rod sitting on the shitter is far better than the real picture.
Can somebody put it up, please?
Yeah. This story's so grand.
Okay, A-Rod apparently does not like to have anything like a shade or smoked glass in his bathroom window. It's in a $17.5 million condo he owns. And somebody, oh shit, I need my glasses. Hang on. Put them on.
That's really well done.
That's a painting?
Yeah.
A drawing?
It looks exactly like the photo.
It's fucking great. Is the detail all correct, too?
Yeah, pull up the real picture.
Nice robe he's got there hanging.
So you can see right into the shower, too.
What's with the pile of towels next to him?
Isn't there a video of him and J-Lo banging
in the
shower?
He's on his phone on the toilet.
Everybody is.
He's on turd base. What else are you supposed to do?
There's people listening to the podcast on the toilet right now.
Good. I'm glad they are.
Yeah, you can see right into the shower.
I think you can tell by you see the window underneath. You hit a button and it automatically
Well, so he wanted to be seen.
He didn't hit the button that frosted his window.
Man in the hot corner.
But look at the difference between the two. They're perfect.
I'm surprised they didn't get a shot of him with what you might call it?
Wiping?
No, well, that too.
And him looking at it like this.
With a skimming device, pulling the turd out, putting it on something for ready shellacking.
I've heard he's got diarrhea.
He keeps all his turds.
Yes.
Because they're
all gold plated and they're
tapered,
mounted.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
The gold plated turd room.
I got to say, as far as sitting
get a shot of that, please?
As far as sitting on turd base, there could have been far worse pictures than that.
Oh, God, yes. No, that was pretty harmless. Plus, there's a stack of towels in front of him.
Yeah.
But
I mean, they could have showed him wiping.
But there's a building across the street or next to it where you can see right in the window, and somebody got a zoom shot and took a picture of A-Rod on turd base, sitting on the toilet. His pants are at his ankles, right?
Yes. He's looking at his phone.
That's so ridiculous.
Sitting on the toilet like anybody else would.
Sitting on the toilet.
$17.5 million apartment. You know what's funny?
He could have closed the shade. The funny thing is that he's upset about it. It's like,
why
don't you have the shade down?
Honestly, shouldn't he just retweet it himself by now?
Yeah. He got it taken down, didn't he?
It's all over Twitter.
It's on Twitter.
Isn't he angry, though?
But no publications have the balls to. That's why we're looking at a painting, because no one wants to publish it. They don't want to be responsible
for it. Well, I don't blame him.
His lawyers have, you know, he sicked his lawyers on a bunch of people.
Okay, so he's not happy about it.
Yeah, but he has no case, according to the experts.
So he's not quoted saying, look, I'm pissed about this picture of me on turd base.
Turd base.
Anybody takes a picture of someone on turd base
Alex
is invading privacy.
Alex's lawyers are all over this. They've been working hard to find out who the culprit is. The photo was obviously taken from the building next door from a floor possibly parallel to Alex's apartment. So first off, good luck proving who took the photo.
Well, he wanted it taken. He has the shade up in his bathroom. You can see him sitting on the toilet.
But like Brandon said, it's one of those things where it automatically frosts or shades. You've seen those, right?
His window automatically frosts or
shades.
Why can I see him?
You've never seen like a bathroom stall where it looks like you can see right in it, but the second you close it and lock it.
Well, how do I see him? I see him.
Well, because I wonder if maybe it only activates when you flip a switch.
Well, he opted not to flip the switch. He wanted us to see him on turd base.
He likes playing turd base by daylight.
He's pretending to be mad. I don't believe
he's not even on his phone.
And that's what's going to screw him over here, because if he does... you know, go for the legal action, they'll just say, why didn't you turn on that frost?
Yeah. Why do I laugh every time I look at that?
Isn't it perfect that it's A-Rod?
Yes,
it really is.
It's absolutely perfect.
If it was Jeter, it'd be funny, but not nearly as
funny.
If it
was Seth Rogen, he'd be getting the negatives from the person who took the picture.
I wish there was a series of photos in the last one. He's got his sleeves rolled up, he's plunging it. Just plunging away.
Well, hopefully the people will find him when he does have to plunge his toilet.
Just doing this, going, hand on top of his head, other hand on his hip, looking at it like, what did I do?
He's got a mask on.
And the next series of pictures is like two.
A-Rod pops her head in
two,
the door.
There's two maintenance guys, and he's like pointing at the toilet. And then he's got his hands up like, I didn't do it.
I love the idea of J-Lo coming, just popping the door open and sticking her head in.
And then the next one, she's plugging her nose.
So ridiculous.
Oh, that would be so great.
All right, well, Bob Page lives, what, 20 blocks from A-Rod?
Bob Page lives on Park Avenue. He's currently there in Manhattan.
Great.
On the same street
on assignment,
A-Rod.
Too.
Yeah, so he is going to be
live there, though,
the A-Rod turd base correspondent. We can reach out to him via Skype in just
via
a few minutes.
Skype. Oh, wow. Excellent. Okay. Wow, this is so cool.
Really?
And how wonderful for the Red Shovel Network to have correspondents who are on site just like that.
Yeah. He was in Florida. He's specifically in Manhattan to cover this story.
Well, yeah, he left when this broke, and he's there now, and he's done a lot of compiling of information, and hopefully we'll be able to find out if there is indeed a plunging picture else out there.
One more great line from the New York Post article. It's unclear who snapped the pic that hits the fans, like the shit hits the fan, but one sympathetic tenant told us of A-Rod, poor guy, that's no way to live. Sad thing is, there's pictures of that. There's probably pictures of other things, too. It's pretty screwed up. Yeah, like him plunging and then him having eight maintenance guys looking at it.
Or him shooting steroids into his ass. Can you imagine that?
There's kissing his mirror.
His fist is like this behind his ass going,
and it looks like he's fisting himself.
Fisting himself, or is there a syringe in his hand?
Him beating up on the toilet with a mirror. It
turns out his defense is, I was fisting myself. I wasn't taking steroids. Well, there's no syringe there.
Can't fist yourself and play baseball.
Fucking ridiculous.
Whoever took this
How
photo,
dumb can
why
this
are
get?
There more?
He was clearly fisting himself. I can't believe he wouldn't take steroids now. God.
It's clearly fisting himself.
What's wrong with that?
With Lamar, steroids. With Lamar Odom's fake penis. He's using that as a dildo.
Yes.
Fun stuff. Well, better than abortion.
Anyway, Bob Page standing by. And we have to talk about the Soul of Detroit, too. The Soul of Detroit got on Fox 2. My basement was all over Fox 2 this weekend.
That's crazy.
But meanwhile, can you handle this, Gabara, Zot, and Hall Financial? Hall Financial.
Oh, this is a brand new read hot off the presses.
Oh, is that the new read?
Yeah, I have not read it yet.
And Hall Financial's copy is outdated. I kind of went, but you probably have a pretty good idea.
I didn't even get to start, Brandon. I haven't messed up yet.
What did he play? I took my
wait, I can read it. How far? What's the over-under until I mess up this read?
You're going to kill it.
Set a timer.
All right. Ahem.
Zot Ford. Steve Gabar and the gang at Zot Ford and Holly have kicked off their famous Memorial Day celebration. It's in all caps. This means some of the best deals of the year are in full effect at Zot Ford and DealsInTheD.com. Plus, to commemorate Memorial Day properly, if you're in the active military, if you're a veteran, a police officer, or a first responder, you can save. There's a typo. It says safe. Save. That's not my mess up. Hang on. S-A-V-E. If you're active military, a veteran, police officer, or first responder, you save an additional $1,000 to $1,500 off Zot Ford's ridiculously low advertised price. So go lease a new 19 Ford F-150 Supercrew 4x4 for as low as $144 a month, or you can lease a new 19 Ford Explorer XLT as low as $185 a month. Finally, you can lease a new 19 Mustang Coupe at the lowest payment in years, just $236 a month. Don't forget, active military, veterans, police, and first responders save even more money. Get details and surf their massive inventory at DealsInTheD.com. Dun, 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 dun.
Very good.
Thank you, Donald. All right, Hall Financial.
Next.
Had a great time with them at the Tiger game the other day. Henry and the gang. Hall Financial is the top mortgage company in Michigan for client service, and they're big supporters of our show and our network, the Red Shovel Network. David Hall and Hall Financial are the team to go to if you're looking to purchase a home or refinance. You've heard it from all of our listeners, all the ones that have called them. They have over 500 five-star reviews because they always put you first. In fact, 72% of Hall Financial's business is referral because realtors trust them and their clients love them. Don't just take it from us, though. Listen, if you're going to work with someone in the Metro Detroit area, this is your team. This is a testimonial. From start to finish, they were attentive, made the process really easy. Checked in with me every 2 days. Even if there was no news on top of the elite service, I closed my home 2 weeks early. Even the sellers were impressed. Holiday time. Well, it's always a holiday. It's Memorial Day. It's a great time to refinance as you can help your cash flow by not having to make a payment. Don't wait. See why over 500 clients are raving about the team over at Hall Financial today. Go to drewandmike.hallfg.com. You won't be disappointed. NMLS number 1467435.
Good job.
I actually called them because I've been interested in refinancing myself. See if I can get a lower rate. And I kept moving the time by like 20-minute increments. And the call took like 5 minutes. So
yeah,
I was very impressed.
I'm going to call them myself.
It's one of those things you always think about. Just do it because it honestly doesn't take that much time.
Let's connect with Bob here.
Yes.
All right.
Is he walking down to A-Rod's building? Is he going down to third base?
I'm going
to
connect with him on Skype. So let's see.
This is thrilling.
Let's see if he answers.
He's going to think no one's in the studio because the shot right now is where Drew sits. Oh, here comes. I believe he's coming in now.
Uh-oh. We might have to make a phone call.
Is Paige in the house?
Uh-oh.
Oh.
This is so exciting.
bloop, bloop.
We need to Skype more just for this. Bloop,
bloop. Yeah, anybody want to Skype? Send us a message. We'll Skype you.
Pick up the phone.
Pick up the phone.
Man, I love that. Bloop, bloop. Just play this the rest of the show.
It's a good beat.
I could go to sleep to that.
I hate it. Because it always means you're not connected.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or...
So what's Bob doing? I mean, besides digging up more information about Alex Rodriguez.
Taking probably
a dump on his phone.
Look at this. Do you love it? It's hands-free.
He's got to be working on the story.
Well, what else would he be doing?
Let's see. I'm texting him.
Uh-oh.
Try to Skype.
There's another great celebrity story that dominated the weekend, too.
What?
Arnold.
Arnold.
How much do you love Arnold Schwarzenegger for the way he handled this?
I love him. I mean, I always kind of like Arnold. I mean, I know he's made a few mistakes. There have been a few flubs, but generally speaking, whatever. He seems like a great guy.
I think he is.
Other than those horrible Apprentice ratings.
If only he could be president. Right?
I'm not sure he'd be a bad president.
I think he'd be a great
honest.
President.
Probably would.
He was a leader of men. He was at
not some, allowed.
He was at something called the Arnold Classic Africa Sports Festival. And I think most people would have seen this by now. But he's just talking on Snapchat and some guy comes flying in and kicks him in the back.
Who is this dickhead? He's going to get arrested, I hope.
Yeah, but Arnold's not pressing charges.
He's not?
Nope, he is not pressing charges. I guess this guy is really well known to police in the area because he does these kind of attention-grabbing things. Okay. Yeah, so they know who he is, which is why I like Arnold's reply. Like, hey, the one shot where you can hear him yelling the thing about the Lamborghini and who he is and everything. Arnold's like, don't watch that video. Watch this other one from a distance. It's a better angle anyway. And I was like, really? Have you seen both videos?
No.
Okay, so the first one, he's on Snapchat talking.
Yeah, I saw that.
The slow motion's hilarious because his face is just like... The other one is from a distance, far back. And based on the first one, you would think Arnold went flying into the crowd or collapse. You watch the other video, he barely moved.
Yeah, he didn't fall or anything.
No, he barely moved.
Brandon's doing a pre-interview with Bob Page, I believe.
I don't know, I just thought that was such a weird story, and I could not stop laughing at the slow-motion version of the video.
I got to check that out. I'm trying to think what... That wasn't really high on my list of...
Arnold?
Things over really? The weekend. No, I mean, it just kind of... It was. I think it was on Friday, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's Drew. Yeah.
Hey, there's Bob.
Hey. Hi, Bob.
How you doing, Bob?
He's Skyping and on his phone. That's how... involved he is in the coverage.
He is. He's working the story
A-Rod.
So hard right now.
He's on the phone and Skype. And he's got a new box of, I think Bob, does Bob have a puppy?
He's got two dogs. I'll tell you all about them. He loves those dogs.
Looks like he's got a new package of wee-wee pads right over his shoulder.
Hey, Drew. As a matter of fact, no, there are three new packages of wee-wee pads over my shoulder.
They look great right there, Bob.
They look really good. It's like A-Rod's towels that were strategic on the counter.
They were very strategic, weren't they?
Hey, Bob, you can see Drew, but I'm here, and Mark is here as well. You can't see us
hey,
on the
Mark,
camera.
Hey, Mark, how are
Bob.
You?
Good, good. Thanks for covering the story. Thanks for being our man on the street.
This is one of the biggest stories New York's seen in a number of years now. So,
of course. And will No Filter Sports be covering this tomorrow?
That's our lead story. Okay. A-Rod taking a shit. You know?
I assume so. Now, have you uncovered any data on the story and where it stands right now?
I most recently looked at the internet about it maybe 10 minutes ago, and I hate to leave you waiting with, you know, breathless anticipation, but there appears to be nothing new on
what?
It at the moment.
Okay, no new developments.
Are we all being a little presumptuous that he was taking a dump and maybe he wasn't just sitting down to pee?
Everybody has some teammates that would say he was sitting down to pee.
Or maybe he's hiding from J-Lo and just wants some private time to look at his phone.
His pants are at his ankles, aren't they?
Yeah,
I guess so.
And he's using the phone in the same method that we would if we were dropping a deuce as well. So.
He looks very relaxed. Bob, you care to speculate?
Will you please?
All I know is this, that if I had a camera in the adjoining building and they were stupid enough to have an open bathroom, I wouldn't be taking any pictures of A-Rod taking a shit. I'd be taking pictures of J-Lo getting in and out of the shower. That's
Thank
what
you.
I'd
be. That's a great point.
Well, is that, I mean, so that is where he lives. Does she live with him? Is that a stupid
yeah,
question
yeah,
she has?
I told okay. you, as I told you, apparently they listed it in January. Hasn't sold yet.
What's it listed for?
$17 million. See, they might, I think they dropped it at $15.3 million now.
Does this bring the value down?
I think
Great
when
question.
You buy anybody's when you buy anybody's previously owned home, you assume that individuals, other humans, have been defecating in the toilets
yeah, but,
prior to
but
buying
not
that,
that
house.
Not that you could be photographed, you know, doing it.
I wonder if Bob might be a better fit on our show.
Hey, how high up is that in the building? That's the one thing I didn't know or couldn't find out.
That's an excellent question.
Bob's going to look out the window and tell us.
I mean, is it like 10 stories?
Hold on a second here. Let me get you guys off the screen and log on to the A-Rod thing.
Oh, man. Sounds like you got some crazy Manhattan traffic out that yeah. window.
You know what? It's funny. It's funny that you say that because the door is open. It's a lovely day here. And I went to close it, and I thought, you know what? You guys want somebody in fucking New York City? You're yeah. going to have somebody in New York City. The door is
yeah.
open. But I can close it if you like.
No.
No, it's great.
What story are you
I'm
on?
I'm sure we'll have sirens wailing by here shortly and, you know, the whole New York thing, right?
What level are you on, Bob?
15.
15? Hey. Hey. By the way, 20 blocks from A-Rod. That sounds like some pricey real estate you're in.
Yeah, 20 blocks in a ways. Let me see. A-Rod.
Blew that off.
That's because he lives 20 blocks away. It doesn't... You know.
How long would it take to get 20 blocks somewhere in Manhattan? Because their blocks
well,
always seem smaller.
Well, how are you planning to go the 20 blocks? That's the thing.
If you were to
rickshaw.
Walk, yeah. If you were to walk, or if you were to cab.
Oh, for me to walk, we live between 36th and 37th on Park.
Ooh,
his apartment's at 57th. For me to walk straight up Park Avenue, there are 15 minutes.
Okay.
Nothing to it.
Yeah. Well, why didn't you?
Why didn't I go up
yeah,
there?
Yeah, so we could have you live on the scene.
Because J-Lo didn't invite me over.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I've been waiting for an invitation.
Why don't you just buy their apartment?
Yeah, you know, I think I was thinking about it, but I wanted something larger and a little more expensive. So.
Maybe something with blinds.
Doesn't say. Yeah, you can put those in. It's funny you mentioned that thing about what floor they're on. Obviously, it's a very high floor.
He never thought anybody would see him.
Yeah,
I
guess.
Don't people just put up blinds? Because I was in Chicago at a hotel a while back, I just don't walk around nude in a hotel because I figure there's some asshole two buildings away who's just zooming in. Maybe it's from reading Ball 4 by Jim Bouton. Mickey Mantle used to have a telescope on the road and look at people.
Have you ever heard of the High Line in New York before?
Yeah, the little like former train that's now a park.
Exactly. Yeah. So they built, when they opened that a few years ago, they built a brand new, really cool modern hotel overlooking it. And people would get up in the windows facing the High Line and have sex up against the glass. I shit you not, as Jack Parr would say.
It's just like
Jack Parr say that on the Jack Parr show.
That was the hook of the show, wasn't it?
I kid you not. That was Jack's.
Okay.
Okay, so how come I am not seeing a picture of you guys anymore? What's going on here?
I blame Brandon.
Oh, it's because you went.
Well,
the only picture
I've got is I got you way up in the upper right hand corner of my screen, and I don't see any way to enlarge that. Actually,
you just
got
to click on the Skype bar. Once you click on Skype at the very top, it'll expand.
Okay, I'm doing that.
Wrong, didn't work.
It didn't work.
Do we know what building is across from A-Rod?
Yeah, there's a hedge fund. Aren't there accusations? Is this someone at a hedge fund?
You're going to ask me all this stuff on the show, I presume, aren't you?
We're
on the show, Bob.
Yeah, so we can get into all that if
you've
you want.
Been on the show.
I would like to make
Does
this picture.
Does he not think we're on the show, Brandon?
we're live, Bob.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have headphones on.
He does. He has earbuds.
His earbuds, okay. Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Selective
was
hearing.
Was Bob kidding?
No.
Okay, Brandon, I can't get this fucking picture any larger than this.
this is even better.
He's going to be horrified.
This is better. No, this is great.
Bob?
Yes.
You know we're live, don't you?
You know what?
You know we're on the air, right?
No, I didn't know that.
We are. We've been on the air since Brandon.
How unprofessional of us.
No, you know what he said, okay? You ready, Bob? Let's get ready to do this. So Brandon's got some heavy-duty editing ahead of him, doesn't he?
I don't know. I think it's all gold.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah.
We don't edit on this show.
So you're serious? We have
yeah.
been.
Yeah. The, oh, yeah. We're serious.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there looking at this fucking picture. That's all. Okay. So you want to ask me about that neighborhood.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So it's a hedge fund across the street from him?
Well, at 57th Street, there's an entire, you know, series of office buildings that go up. My longtime attorney girlfriend had an office right there across from 57th Street in that neighborhood. Then you go up and you get into the big time stuff in the 60s and 70s and 80s. They wrote a book about that a number of years ago called Park Avenue, the Boulevard of Dreams. And that's where the real power elite of America lives, except for your friend, Mr. Trump, who has his apartment on Fifth Avenue instead.
Bob, we have to ask you something that has long troubled the show. Tom Mazoway claims that, and I realize you're our A-Rod sitting on the toilet correspondent, but we'd like you to go outside that briefly. Tom Mazoway claims that A-Rod owns a concession stand in Yankee Stadium. That as part of his deal with the Yankees, they gave him one concession area.
Ain't saying no, but I've never heard such a thing in my entire life.
Why would they do that?
And the only other thing I can guarantee is if the story is true, he's not there selling hot dogs himself to the fans. You know, I'm sure he's designated that assignment to somebody else.
Yes.
He claimed he got a percentage of the concession sales.
Well, yeah,
in
the whole stadium, right?
Yeah, cash under the table.
Well, look, did you guys think to Google that?
it doesn't exist. He made it up.
Well,
we've been arguing about this for about a year now. And anytime we talk to someone in New York, we ask them if, because Tom says, it's an open secret in New York. And certain people say, they say about what you did. Well, I'm not saying he doesn't.
I've only lived here for 30 years. And I was only on the New York Yankees broadcast for about 10 years. So if you give me a little more time, maybe please. I can find something out for you.
That'd be exciting. I'd
but
love
right
to know.
Now, fellas, I'm telling you, I got no idea where that started.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bob will catch you on No Filter Sports tomorrow with Eli and Denny. Any particular subjects that will be discussed besides A-Rod?
Well, the obvious stuff. I mean, we've got the PGA Championship going on right here in New York City. And as always, the Tigers are a big punching bag for us. And Al Avila, their general manager. So there's a lot of stuff. NBA playoffs. I can't get Denny and I can't get Eli to talk about the NHL playoffs because they know nothing about hockey, admit it freely, and in point of fact, seem perversely proud of that. I don't understand. I told them both, you want to be on the air in Detroit? You want to be doing sports? You better know something about hockey and follow it. They refuse.
Amen.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do with that kind of intransigence, Drew? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Well, when the Red Wings get better, they will take an interest in hockey. I guarantee it. Because you cannot talk sports if the Red Wings are hot and not talk about the Red Wings.
Well, they're doing the best they can. And I'm sure they'll continue to do the best they can to try to talk sports without knowing anything about hockey. You know, we got two guys here in New York. One guy's name is Michael Kay. He's now a longtime Yankees TV announcer. The other guy's name is Mike Francesa.
Oh, I know Mike.
The
biggest blowhard sports talk show host, literally, in New York, in probably New York history. They each know nothing about hockey. We only have three NHL teams here, by the way. They each know nothing
Who's
about
the
hockey.
Who's the third, Dwayne? Islanders, Red Wings, or Rangers?
And the New Jersey Devils.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they know nothing about it, and they will not field hockey questions on their shows. Oh. Now, that's pretty weird. But that's the attitude in New York City. I always say that the 21,000 people who sell out virtually every New York Rangers game are as knowledgeable and rabid as anybody in Montreal, Toronto, Detroit, Boston, Chicago, wherever you go. But that's essentially all there are. It's a small percentage of the whole. The average big New York sports fan is into baseball, football, basketball, maybe a little boxing, a little horse racing, which is huge in New York. But they just don't follow hockey. They know nothing about it.
Well, they follow A-Rod when he's pictured on the toilet. We know that. Well,
Maybe I'm just speaking for myself. Isn't everybody a little tired of following A-Rod by now?
I think didn't J-Lo, didn't she give him new life?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
because Bob, you don't watch award shows, but anytime there's an award show, J Lo seems, doesn't she seem like she sings at every award show now?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. He's in
always,
the audience.
Yeah, they always show the beaming A-Rod.
I gotta
in the
tell
crowd.
You though, I've come full circle on him because I really hated the fact, you know, he sued his union and you know took no, admitted to nothing and fought that, and it really pissed me off. But I like him doing the broadcasts.
He's pretty
very
good.
He's very likable. So you know, you more power to him.
Do you guys know Rex Reed?
Yeah.
Long-time film critic, television critic here in New York in the media. Simpering Rex Reed. I don't even know if he's still alive. You don't see him on the air. I'll never forget catching him on one of the channels years ago. And he looks into the camera and he lisps, "Oh, and then there's Sean and Madonna. Don't they just make you thick? They won't even know each other in another 2 years." And that same thing. The same thing probably could be said for A-Rod and J-Lo, you know?
I hope
as
you're
Gil
right.
As Gil Scott-Heron once sang, you know, she's had more romances than L.A. got stars. You know, she's had more romances than Detroit got cars.
Bob, thank you very much. And I want to mention, I love the chair that I can see in the background there. What? That is a cool chair.
This one right here?
Yeah, I like it.
Oh. Yeah, well, you can buy it if you want. It's only got a few rips in it, and we'll cut a deal for you. We'll ship it out there to Detroit, okay?
All right, Bob, we'll catch you on No Filter tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow, Bob.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, thank you.
Bob. See you, bye.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
He quoted Gil Scott-Heron.
He has a lot of quotes that go over my head.
Bob is a lot hipper than when I first started listening to No Filter. I was like, who is this guy? Cause, you know, it's funny. Even with a radio show, I'm really like everyone else. I go, Eli and Denny, it's like an old shoe. I like their TV show because that was a great TV show. They were really good. And then, of course, the worst happened. Denny got in trouble, and Eli went to the left Fox 2, which I think he even now would say was a big mistake because he thought he would land somewhere else. Like, I'm sick of this. I'm burnt.
Yeah.
And somebody will pick me up. And TV was going sideways at that point and went further sideways. So he took the Pistons job. But anyway, the point was that when Bob came on with Eli and Denny on No Filter, I was like, who's this Bob Page guy? And
who's this Joker?
Who is this guy? Because I was used to those guys the way they are. They're bitchy. And
that's why Bob fits in. Perfect.
He does fit in. No, it works. It took me a couple shows, but Bob had something. And Bob loves New York. He loves mentioning New York. And Eli and Denny don't really take too well to it, which makes it fun. People ragging on people.
We're going to get to the bottom of this A-Rod toilet thing.
Real quick, because I did the pre-show interview with Bob while you guys were discussing.
Yeah, how was the pre-show interview?
It went well. We were just trying to figure out what
was going on. Could have told them when we were going to go on live.
Yeah, I forgot to tell them that we were live. But I just wanted to play for you.
Really funny.
I know. He was everyone okay.
I just want to play for you the video of Arnold Schwarzenegger getting jump kicked. Because I just want to see
it. Yeah.
Slow-mo.
Because I like his. Let's see.
Doing something on a phone.
Hold on.
He's still got guns, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
Why isn't he making hit movies now? Wouldn't you think he could still make a hit movie?
The Expendables. What was that? Oh! Look, that dude beat the shit out of the guy, too.
Who is this fuck? Is this some YouTube star that did this?
No, they just say he does it. I want to see if I can find that story, that he just does it for attention.
I think he did it for a Lamborghini.
Can we give him some attention by putting him in jail for a couple nights?
Arnold's not pressing charges.
Why does he need
I hate these little attention-grabbing people. That's not funny. Arnold's 71 years old.
Yeah. But he's a
tough motherfucker. But, I mean, a lot of people. You guys didn't have a reaction? I mean,
what?
I think he's a cop.
The guy's an asshole.
Going up and kicking him. That was a hard fucking kick.
Yeah.
That was an assault.
But if you see the other video, I mean, Arnold barely moved because he's.
Well, no, he's a tough motherfucker. Yeah.
I just liked his reaction to the whole thing. I thought it was pretty funny.
Well, he has to pretend that it didn't hurt.
You think today he's just miserable?
Maybe.
Just walking around grabbing his back nonstop.
No bullshit. If I honestly believe
I would have been bummed.
That if they were ever to change that law. Where you had to be born in the United States to run for office, I really think that he would be a guy that would have a legitimate shot at becoming president of the United States. Legitimate.
Hey, I think The Rock would have a chance.
Yeah, I'd vote for The Rock just because.
The Rock
I just think that The Rock, when The Rock talks, you like him more. He's just very likable.
He's a perfect man.
He it's needs all about public being service, liked. Though. Arnold Schwarzenegger has he's been on the top of
what
many
public service has Trump done?
Charities.
None.
Zero.
I'm talking about Schwarzenegger here.
Obama's a community
he
activist.
He was a Republican in California where there's never Republicans, and he did things down the aisle. Like, he tried to, you know, unite both sides. He did the best that he actually
very
could.
Sensitive.
Get a room with Arnold.
I just can't tell you what a thud, and you mentioned, Mark, Beto O'Rourke. I thought Beto
O'Rourke. Oh, it's so funny to me. I don't know
why. I really thought he would captivate people. He is the biggest thud possibly in the history of politics.
That's because Buttigieg totally took him out.
Buttigieg.
Isn't that how Trump pronounced it?
I don't know.
He kept going, Edge in that one speech.
Just does Trump have a
he called him the dude from Mad Magazine.
Oh, Albert E. Newman.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. That's a great nickname.
That's a real good current nickname for somebody. Albert E. Newman.
I thought it was a great nickname.
It's pretty
him.
Funny. It's kind of funny, but it's a little. Somebody should have said Donald Mad Magazine's been gone since about 1970.
But it seems like he really captured the people that liked Beto. They're like, I'm going to go with this Buttigieg guy.
I don't know. Honestly, I haven't seen Beto do anything. Elizabeth Warren gets more attention than Beto.
In her beer commercial? See Trump ragging her again for her?
For that?
For her beer commercial?
Her beer commercial.
That's what he called
what
it.
He called it?
Let's see if you can
That's
find
pretty
that
funny, actually.
No, it was funny.
I'm silly.
I want to see if I can find him pronouncing Buttigieg's name. Buttigieg's name.
Buttigieg. I think he called it the beer catastrophe.
Puerto Rico.
Is this the new one?
Towards mounting a presidential bid in 2020, and Republicans are already criticizing that move.
Blah, blah, blah.
We want a government that works, not just to win.
God.
His response, that I don't
That's
know,
an old one.
You have to ask her psychiatrist. Warren's official announcement has others in the GOP saying, I told
Pocahontas?
You so. That includes
I'm
her
sorry
most
about
recent...
That.
Yeah, I don't know where this
I'll
is.
I'll look for it. I saw it earlier.
Oh, I'm. You know what? It might have just been... like a tweet, because he posted the picture of her drinking the beer.
Yeah, but
I'm glad for everybody who's joining this video. It's great to hear from you. Hold on a sec. I'm going to get me a beer.
Oh, how spontaneous. The clap, too.
Meanwhile, Trump says,
hey,
if Elizabeth Warren
often
referred to me as Pocahontas, did this commercial from Bighorn or Wounded Knee instead of her kitchen, with her husband dressed in full Indian garb, it would have been a smash.
I swear, I mean, he said that before, but I swear he just brought it up again this weekend.
I don't remember that tweet.
This may be the worst acting possibly ever right there when she said, hold on, I'm going to get a beer.
Yeah.
That's so stupid.
I can't believe she's still running. That should have been the end of her.
Who, Pocahontas?
Oh, sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
Look, is it offensive? You tell me. Oh,
sorry.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm sorry about that. Pocahontas? So what'd you say?
So bad.
Wait, this might be.
Oh, Trump.
I'll look for it if I find it.
The Big Ten is the top molestation conference. Clearly.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've got Ohio State joining Michigan State and Penn State. Mm-hmm. And isn't there another one?
Once again, Michigan fourth. What?
Isn't there another molestation scandal in the Big Ten?
In the Big Ten? Probably. I feel like
what
every.
Am I thinking about? Oh, the. Oh, no, no, no.
I feel like every school has one now.
There was the Maryland coach that killed the guy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Durkin. Can't remember the guy's name. McNair was the Jordan McNair, I think was the kid.
Yeah, and the coach is gone now. But I tell you why I'm interested in this story, and this is going to sound bad. But, okay, this is Dr. Richard Strauss. He was the athletic department doctor, correct?
Yes.
And he apparently had 177 victims, and it sounded like he liked touching people's penises and, mm-hmm. when this ankle is terrible. Let me see if your penis was affected by it. And it was a running joke with a lot of the athletes.
The one guy, one of the main guys that brought it to light, said that he considered being fondled his copay because it just happened every time. And he's like, you just let him do it, then you're good.
Well, I mean, women say it's very hard to speak up. And I'm sure for a lot of guys, for a very different reason, it's embarrassing. It sort of suggests a lot of things. I'm sure it surprises a lot of people that 177 athletes wouldn't punch him in the face or do something. But he's a doctor. He's a doctor, so he must. What he's doing must be okay. Or the university. I don't know, it's a very strange thing.
Ohio State had complaints all the way back in '79.
Now, these official complaints?
Yeah. That's how I took it, based on this investigation, which this investigation just says all the horrible things he did and didn't blame anybody that could have stopped it, which I thought was, isn't the point of the investigation is to find out where the failure was so it doesn't happen again?
Well, I don't know when the investigation was. He's been dead since 2005. Well,
just remember when this all came up before?
Yeah, I do.
That's when the investigation started.
When he killed himself?
Oh, Brandon.
Brandon.
Sorry. No, you're not.
Brandon has more than 177 victims.
Sorry about that.
I know. Who do I report this to? Report it to Drew.
The network. The Red Shovel HR department.
See if you do anything about it.
Sorry about that, guys.
Fake. I'm so Pocahontas. Sorry about that.
What I'm wondering is... Okay, I'll put this under serious issue, shallow thought, to face less criticism. And I'm not saying anybody's going to criticize me for this, but some of it's a very delicate subject. Is there going to be an effort to compensate the victims in this case? It was over a long, it was from, let's see, 70s through the 90s.
Yeah.
So, part of me says, well, it's guys, you know. But no, when there's abuses like this, it's a person. It doesn't make it any better or worse that you're a certain gender. I don't know. I'm sure I could say, my gut feeling is to say it's worse if you're a female. But no, look at some of these horrible victims. Remember Sheldon Kennedy with the Red Wings?
Oh, yeah.
The hockey coach? What the?
Here's the first column from the Associated Press, an attorney preparing a lawsuit against Ohio State University on behalf of more than 50 former athletes.
Well, it'll be 177 before it's over.
Maybe more than that.
Yeah, maybe well more than that.
But the thing that's getting a lot of play now is that some were football players, which, you know, football holds more weight than wrestling. Some of them that went on to play in the NFL.
Well, and they didn't speak any louder, apparently, or hold any more weight than anybody else did because nobody did anything.
It happened. How familiar does this sound? It happened during required physical examinations at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, which I'm sure Woody's just thrilled his name is on the Athletic Center.
Nice plug for Woody.
During treatments for injuries and ailments by Dr. Strauss at his off-campus clinic and his home, where he insisted that they be seen.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, so... let's just say that in the Michigan State case, they had 265 officially, and they ended up with way more than that. It was 320 or something. Let's just say that the number of victims were exactly the same. Will the men receive as much compensation as the women did in the Nassar case or the victims at Penn State received?
That's a great question. I don't know.
My guess is no.
Why? Because they're guys?
Yeah.
Or because they were college athletes where some of Nassar's were underage. Does that even matter?
Yeah, on the subject with guys.
I don't know. A sexual assault victim is a sexual assault victim. Is a sexual assault victim. I don't know. Is there a difference?
I mean, I don't know how the law looks at it. There's different degrees of sexual assault. But I think the other aspect of it is there seemed to be a lot of evidence with Nassar as to where it could have been stopped along the line. So maybe that's why.
Well, you can always say that. I mean,
Ohio State investigation doesn't show very little of that from what I've read.
It shows very little what?
Of where it would have been stopped along the line.
Yeah. I didn't.
Where's the Kathy Klegis? Where's the.
I did not know people had Dr. been. I didn't Simon. Realize. I did not even know people had reported this to Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Now, probably most of the people that were there are gone.
Yeah.
The field was reported, too.
Scores of Ohio State personnel knew of complaints and concerns about Strauss's conduct as early as 79, but failed for years to investigate or take meaningful action.
You know, I've talked about this Bill Bricker guy, who was the Cub Scout, Boy Scout leader where I grew up and was a gym teacher at my school and at another school as well. And everyone, and I mean when I was an adult, I remember... bringing him up, and I think I was around, it was maybe Christmas or something, or a bunch of family there, and it was like, Bill Bricker. And I remember my mom said something, oh, he likes boys, doesn't he? And it was everyone, it was like a running thing. Bill Bricker, oh, yeah, he likes little boys. He never went to jail. He was never charged with anything until he was 90.
Yeah, and the photos of him old and with oxygen and cords.
Yeah, no, this went on through the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. I think he retired in the early 2000s, and nothing happened. This went on through the Boy Scouts, through the school system, and everyone knew. And I mean everyone knew. Everyone knew.
Was it reported, like in the school system?
Does it matter? Weird. I mean, if everyone knows, does it matter?
Well, yes and no.
So you're saying there weren't victims?
Everyone knew. Everyone knew. Because, you know, I knew because we used to joke about it when I was in fifth grade because he used to hug all the kids, well, the boys, when they left.
But I got to say, and I'm thinking of one guy in particular that we all said that about who nothing happened to, and we don't know for a fact.
Two bits, four bits, six bits, who was the homo Tom Fritz?
Yeah.
He was not. There was nothing going on with him.
That's what I mean.
I don't really remember why Tom. Oh, because Tom Fritz was really strict, and so that just somebody said that. I didn't even know what it meant.
Plus,
all that chanted it many times.
It rhymes with bits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go.
I mean, that's not his fault, but.
True. But this guy, my mom knew it. Mm-hmm. My mom knew it. She had heard it somewhere. So apparently it was just so that nobody wanted to go to the police station and give a report to somebody because it was too. But as it turned out, when he was jailed, somebody through the Boy Scouts came out and said, and I think there had been complaints, but it was one of those. I don't know. It's crazy. We're not going to send them out anymore overnight, sir.
It's the same story over and over.
Well, it's really gross, and it's really nothing makes people more uncomfortable.
When are people going to start listening to kids and maybe think that, oh, these people aren't making it up? But with Ohio State, they're not even kids. They're athletes.
I don't think anyone thought anyone was making it up. I just think they
didn't know what to do
with it. No, I just think they don't know what to do with it. It's so out of the norm, and these people are generally, they're brilliant at grooming. They just cover their tracks. What's his name? Nasser convinced two police organizations that he didn't do anything. He put on a dog and pony show for the cops. They let him go. They apologized, too. They said, yeah, we were taken in by him. We were fooled by him. We were conned by him. And they felt that they should have spent money on experts to bring in to view his presentation and say, no, that's not okay. But they didn't have the money in their budget. So the mistake was, I think they said they should have pushed it up to another police agency that had more money. Instead, they cleared him.
Here's a longer answer, too, regarding Ohio State and the lawsuits. Three federal lawsuits have been filed so far against the university.
All right.
And Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights is examining them, too.
I'm just intrigued by what that amount will be. What will they give those victims? Will it be small potatoes compared to the other ones?
I wouldn't think so.
I'm betting it's going to be a lot less, although, but I hope I'm wrong.
Although you do it with Nasser, you do have the criminal conviction. With Sandusky, you have the criminal conviction. Here you just have the guy that died. I don't know if that matters.
Yeah, it probably does.
But they could lose some federal funding as if they care.
Did you guys see that Righteous Rick tweeted at Andy Dick
I did.
To hang
did.
Out when he came to Los Angeles.
When
did he tweet that?
That was in April. He said, "Hey, I'm coming down. Okay, we should do a bit together."
It did not happen.
Oh, good call, Andy.
I don't believe it happened. No.
Okay, I thought maybe he had just tweeted it. Why is
it worth a try?
Why is he tweeting
it, Rick?
Imagine if Rick de-pants to Andy.
Why is he tweeting at Andy Dick?
I don't know.
To hang out. And do a skit? Is that what he said?
Yeah, do a bit.
A bit?
He's
for
trying
who?
To, he's trying to weasel in on Andy's cameos?
What the fuck? Does Andy Dick know Righteous Rick?
No.
Is Andy a big enough fan of the show that he's actually making, oh, the Sarah Carter phone thing? I don't know.
No, but Rick listens and he figures, hey, we're going to be in the same state, so we might as well hang out.
Is that a little presumptuous?
It's Rick.
Just a tiny bit
it's
presumptuous.
Rick I'm talking about here.
I've seen Rick reach out to various people.
Who else has he reached out to?
I've seen him go right after Aaron Carter and say, hey, bro, I got your phone. Hit me up. And then Aaron never responds to him.
Do we know where the AC phone thing? Is it over?
You know what? I don't know. Let me see the last couple texts I've got.
Like to think that it's just over.
In my mind, it was over.
Get some money.
It ended with me. I was done with it.
I thought it was over after the time he came in and we visited with him, and then he allegedly sold some pictures. And I thought, well, he certainly is ahead of the game. At that point, if it was me, I can't say if it was me because none of this would have happened. But I don't think I would be shopping the phone anymore.
I don't know what there. I mean, there was some litigation threatened at one point.
Well, I
and then
I'm not sure the language was a great idea, to be honest.
What do you mean?
I'm not sure the exchange was what I would have recommended someone
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah, his exchange with the person threatening litigation. I understand that.
I didn't know anything. That's why news to me.
Last Monday, he texted and said, "Yo, call. I'll update on the Aaron Carter shit." They confirmed. I don't want to say that. But lots of threats. That's how it ended.
Oh, threatening him?
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Which I showed you some of that stuff. I just don't. I don't want to talk about it now until it's done.
Yeah,
which is why it was done in my mind.
Did anybody see 48 Hours?
No.
Unbelievable. Incredible story. We cannot leave without going over 40 Hours.
Drew, I always watch 48 Hours and 2020. And then we don't talk about those episodes that I watch. And then the ones I don't watch, you always bring on. I was like, damn it.
2020 was about Chris Watts.
Oh, okay.
That was the rerun, right?
Yeah, it was a rerun. Yeah. But it was still incredible. I watched it over again. It's just
Bolte. There's no Trent Bolte in it. No. Which, that's just irresponsible.
It is.
Yeah, they don't even mention him.
No, not one. That's a big part of the story.
He was in love with me.
Why is that?
He said that he'd never been so comfortable with someone.
Yeah. Is that because it's just too...
That's a great drop. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's only one word. It's the... He's pushing his voice mixed with vocal fry. It's powerful.
Did they just not include him in 2020 because...
It's gay.
He's so over the top and he's gay. Where the other, like, people watching go, oh, yeah, I could see, you know, him wanting to bang this chick and get rid of his wife.
To me, that's a big part of the story.
It's a huge part of the story. It's a
massive part of the story. It says so much about Chris Watts' intentions. And plus, after we've got, you know, we talked to Trent Bolte, I thought Trent's a victim himself here. And Trent's a good dude.
Trent's a huge victim. I mean, he got sucked into this. He was threatened by people. He was trolled online for being part of that story. He was a completely innocent victim. But what I thought it represented was Chris Watts crossing lines, suddenly throwing caution to the winds and just, you know, I'm going to do whatever I feel like doing. And, you know, going on a gay dating site. That was, he was a married guy, first of all. He said that was the first guy he'd been with. I kind of wonder about that. But I don't know. I can't imagine. Maybe because this is what I heard from the people inside 2020. I have a source, and they said that they felt that to include Trent Bolte, they had to include those highlights, though. And apparently,
oh, clearly,
they felt that was too triggering for some people.
Oh, that highlight, though. That fucking highlight, though.
What if they had played that in 2020?
Well, they should have. That's just good video.
Spiced up the story. Well, 48 Hours. Honestly, it was one of the best. Brandon, I think I have it recorded. I do have it recorded.
I have it recorded. I record them all.
Must watch it. First of all, it's about an incredibly hot chick, Rachel Del Tondo, who's 33 years old. She's a teacher, and she's just beautiful. Beautiful, curvy, Italian, a little bit of everything. She lived at home. She was very close to her, kind of an old school Italian girl, super close to her parents. She was unmarried, and she didn't want to move out of her parents' house until she was getting married. Uh-huh. And I think they even said something about that she didn't want to embarrass her dad by moving in with a guy. Uh-huh. So she was very traditional girl. She was a school teacher.
Very cute.
She's really pretty. I mean, she's inarguably pretty, isn't she?
You could tell she's Italian. She's
absolutely
really pretty. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some phenomenal
pictures. Lay off the makeup.
She's
okay. She's beautiful.
She's pretty.
Ooh,
Look at that.
Yeah.
Ooh, hubba.
Anyway, Rachel starts dating this guy who she knew in high school, I believe, and he was he was a big shot. He was a CEO of some, I think, a trucking company or something he'd started.
Okay.
Super rich guy. And it sounded like a very drama-filled relationship. Just, you know, they got engaged at one point. She wanted to be engaged.
Yeah.
They've been together for a number of years, and she wanted that ring. And she finally got that ring, and plans are being made to get married. And then he wanted her to sign a prenup.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother didn't want her to, supposedly. There's her mother. Her mother's nuts. Totally nuts.
Why do you say she's nuts?
Well, if you watch this, you'll believe me. You'll agree with me.
Okay.
Her mother's cuckoo. She loved Rachel, but she's just a little out there. Anyway, so things start going south in this relationship with the super-duper influential wealthy guy who's a little older than her, just a few years. And by the way, you'll notice if you watch the story that they took, and if you see it playing there now, I'm sure they'll show it any minute now. They take these pictures where, you know, they're making out or they're posed with this couple. And I'm thinking, okay, who's the big social media freak in this pair? They just look like posed pictures. It was kind of weird. But they were obviously a very high-profile couple in Alquippa, Pennsylvania, if there's such a thing as a high-profile couple there.
Hey, isn't that where Rip Hamilton's from?
There are some athletes from there. I know. I think they mentioned that in 48 Hours.
Well, that Rip Hamilton was from there?
No, they didn't mention Rip. But it's a very small town that's produced some great athletes. So this relationship starts going south. The engagement's broken, but they're still together. They're kind of on and off.
Ty Loss from there.
And then one year, he goes
Pete
to
the... Maravich.
Pete Maravich is from...
Yeah.
I thought he was from...
Henry Mancini.
Louisiana.
I don't know. It just says he's from there.
He was a southern guy.
Mike Ditko is from there. Dorsett.
Pennsylvania always has a lot of athletes. Every sport, I believe. So he goes to the Super Bowl, and he goes with some dudes, and he goes with some girls.
Ooh.
And that's... She's pissed, and that's it. That's it, the end.
Okay, end of story, because he accepts the breakup.
No.
Everyone lives their own happy lives.
They still stay in touch, not like they used to, but something's still going on. Anyway, about, I think it was maybe, it was significantly after the fact that it comes out that she was in a car with this kid who was the star quarterback for the high school team. She's a teacher. At a Circle K in a parking lot when a cop came on them and said, hey, you know, what are you doing? And it's like, oh, we're talking. And she claimed that he had called her, he had some problems, and that she wanted somebody to talk to. And she met him at the Circle K and they talked in the car.
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
Well, for some reason, 6 months later, somebody else in the police station there said, I want a report to be made of that. There was no report for some reason.
Why?
I don't know. He did. So a report was made. Well, about a year after that, the superstar CEO boyfriend, Mr. Tough Guy, he goes to the police station and says, I want to see the report about, because there was talk about this, that, let's see, you have something going on with this quarterback? You know, what's up with that? And he wanted to get back with her, but he also wanted to know, what's the story about this rumor? Someone gives him a report, which is highly unusual. But there's some tie with the police station with him or with the police department. I don't know. It was all very murky. But 4 days after he gets this report, which, by the way, said that the officer approached the car at 1:52 a.m. and it was in a field outside a church. In other words, it's parked in a very private place. And the passenger seat was fully retracted.
Oh, boy.
So, in other words, something was going on with these two, this 33-year-old teacher and this 17-year-old star quarterback, who was black, by the way.
Oh.
Not that that has anything to do with the story, but...
And he was black.
Nice.
I thought about the drop when they did the story last night. That's the guy. That's one of the pictures. What's with all these pictures?
You know what's funny about this picture? Oh, nice watch. Make sure the camera gets a shot on my watch.
He talked to 48 Hours, which surprised me.
But he's got this thing framed... That's, I don't know what it's from, but on it says tweet this, share. So it must be from a website.
Yeah.
And then down below it says zero comments. So it must not have been a pretty good story.
Frank Catrappa, CEO. Anyway, so he gets the story. 4 days later, the report is sent to the school district, to her friends, to the newspaper. And the story goes out, you know, teacher with quarterback in car at 2 o'clock in the morning with seat reclined, and she's fired from the school. So life goes on, and
they fire without even doing an investigation, or did they find out that they were getting it on?
She may have resigned. I'm not sure what happened, but she's no longer a.
Okay. She is really, I mean, they keep showing
these shots. She's strikingly pretty. Anyways, there's some weird stuff about her, you know. Not long after this, she's dating the quarterback's half-brother, who's 31. Then she's hanging out with another half-brother, who's 26.
She needs to get out of this city.
Yeah. Her best friend is a 17-year-old girl who she hangs. I know it was weird. It was like, what's going on with this girl? That's what became the weirdest part about it. But not long after she loses her job, she's with her 17-year-old friend, and she drops her off at the house, and she goes inside, and she comes out shortly thereafter, and she's at the front of her driveway, and someone comes and shoots her.
What?
Yeah, shoots her, I think, 6 times, and she's dead.
That's not how, I mean, I'm assuming that guy did it. Are we supposed to assume that? The boyfriend?
Well, there some people would assume.
I just wouldn't think that would be the way. If he's the one that did it, I wouldn't think that would be the way he would do it.
Some people felt it was a hit. That it was a professional that did it. And this guy is
nobody
a big
actually
shooter.
Pays people to kill anyone. They always get busted when they do that because they only pay $5,000.
I don't know. Some people thought it was the quarterback, the kid, who was believed to have stalked her for a long time after this whole thing happened, that he continued to stalk her when she didn't want anything to do with him. There was a lot of people who felt it was the CEO, and also that she had just begun to tell certain people that there was some scandal in the police department. Something was going on in the police department, which involved her CEO ex-boyfriend, who, by the way, got this report that he never should have received and left the police station with it on top of that. I mean, it was all
very
conspiratorial.
Weird.
It was, no one's been arrested. So, you know, whoever killed her is still at large. Her name is Rachel Del Tondo, R-A-C-H-A-E-L. Del Tondo, T-O-N-D-O, 33-year-old from Alquippa, Pennsylvania, if you want to look her up. This girl is just, I mean, she's just strikingly pretty, and it's just the strangest thing. The whole story is
like, I don't know why this matters, but the boyfriend is doing interviews on 48
Hours. Yeah, he's on 48 Hours.
So I feel like he didn't do it solely based on that.
His attorney is standing next to him. That's what you don't see until later on in the story. You see that, And they asked this guy a question, because the CEO has an alibi on the night that she was murdered. He was at he was at his new girlfriend's apartment. And he's pictured on social media, I don't know when, after the death, apparently, wearing a shirt that says fake alibi.
Oh, God.
It's got this big fake alibi thing on it. And so people are like, ooh, fake alibi. it's the story is just nuts. That's it was insane. The weirdest thing.
Huh.
Here it is.
Heh. Yeah, see, look at that stupid shirt.
Whose butt?
It's his new girlfriend.
Wow, she's hot too.
Yeah.
Where's this guy pulling all this ass from?
From his wallet.
You're right. And he seems like an adult to me. I don't understand what she saw in this guy. Anyway, can you handle Yaldo and Zot and Luke?
I also want to play real quick. I think I found the Elizabeth Warren thing from Trump.
Okay.
It took me a long time, but I found it.
Very good job. I think, again, a lot of jobs are being created. A lot of people are doing things that they never thought they could do before. We freed local lenders from the heavy-handed
regulations. From the National Association of Realtors meeting.
On there.
I don't know how he gets into Warren.
That were crushing community banks and threatening the housing market. Pocahontas had an agency that was, I mean, she was a disaster. She enjoyed destroying these local lenders. I mean, I think she got pleasure out of destroying beautiful local lenders who have been lending to your clients and probably yourselves for years, and they were going out of business, and they were living in fear. Pocahontas, that's another beauty.
Beautiful.
She's doing
local.
Really well so far, isn't she? Her and her beer commercial.
Why is this making me laugh?
How about the kid? Did you see the way she got the kid? Did anybody see that? Anybody
the kid.
See? The kid she pulled on the stage.
Brought in front of her.
For what? The photo op. You never saw that video?
No, I did not.
That kid moved quickly. Now, she's got a lot of pent-up anger. She's an angry person. But you know what? Making it very tough on people that you know. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And now...
He's speaking to the right audience because he's talking about Dodd-Frank, which killed small banks.
You're just better at real estate than they are.
Oh, isn't that what limits the amount of money you can borrow under certain conditions?
Yeah, just regulations on...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to borrow money. I needed a mortgage, and I was more than worthy of it. And they said, nope, you can't have it just because... And I tried to go to another bank, and they said, nope, you've got these rental properties, and well, you could qualify, but you can't qualify.
Yeah, well, small banks it was just hard to lend because all banks got hit under the rules because they wanted to punish the big banks.
I guess I'd prefer it this way so we don't have to go through exactly what we went through again before. I'm sure we'll find
the next
something.
Collapse.
We'll find something else to go through.
The next one collapse.
Just so we don't go through the same thing again.
Hey, you know what we've all been waiting for? It's finally here. The Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Spring Sales Event.
What?
Do you wonder what all the excitement's about? Well, let me explain. Because during Zot's Spring Sales Event, you can lease a new 19 Ram Bighorn 4x4 for as low as $166 a month. Or how about leasing a new fully loaded 19 Jeep Compass for as low as $198 a month? Or if you want to move the whole family around in total luxury, lease a new 19 Chrysler Pacifica for as low as $292 a month. Whoa. Plus, last month's employee pricing for everyone was such a massively smashing success. Our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram decided to do it all over again. So while supplies last, get employee pricing on all new 18 Jeep Wranglers in stock. Nobody else is doing that for you. No one. They won't do it, no matter how much you ask. See details and surf the massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And,
you're doing awesome.
Oh boy, pressure's on. Thank God I have good eyes. And if you don't have good eyes, you know where you could go, Brandon?
Dr. Yaldo.
Dr. Yaldo, that's right. Life is just grand. This is another new read, by the way, that I refuse to pre-read. Life is grand here at the Red Shovel Studios. They're so much cooler than radio for so many reasons. Fuck. Life is grand here at the Red Shovel. This is so much cooler than radio for so many reasons. Trudy, Drew, Maz, Brandon, we all do our thing right here in the basement, and all of you have been great by listening and supporting, for sharing all of our shows with your friends, and by supporting our sponsors. Sponsors like Dr. Yaldo, Michigan's premier eye surgeon. They're also loyal and accountable. When you go see him to get rid of your glasses, contacts, or dreaded reading glasses, he knows that you came on our recommendation because he and his staff give you great care and attention because we're all in this together. Trudy loves her LASIK and her designer sunglasses that everyone fawns over. She got them at Dr. Yaldo's new eyewear department. Eli from No Filter Sports, he loves his multifocal implants. Be done with the old technology and get true precision vision that'll change your world. Tell him Drew and Mike sent you. And you'll get a free evaluation, preferred pricing, and easy financing if you need it. Call 1-800-398-EYES. That's 1-800-398-EYES. Or go online to theyaldoeyecenter.com.
Hey, Ben. That didn't work out well, did it?
Oh, that wasn't too bad. Sure.
How far in are we, Brandon?
130.
Oh!
What happened?
You okay, Mags?
Uh-oh. What did Mags do that?
Mags and Layla just knocked. You had a bat propped up over there.
My Frank Thomas bat?
Okay, fell on both of them.
Mags is checking out to make sure it didn't break.
Or if he can
he's
it.
Over by the bat. He gets. Oh. He knows how much it means to me.
Stop messing around over there.
Sorry, how far in, Brandon?
Oh, about an hour 35.
Oh, we're that far in?
Yeah, we're just rolling it. We got a boner line today, too.
We're like the 45-minute mark. 45 minutes.
And we got something special at the end of the show.
Oh, that's right.
That will be set up by the boner.
More Mike Clark. Oh. Okay, Dr. Roche, it's all about boobs, boobs, always boobs. Ever since he bragged to me about his boob lifts, I felt that was worth mentioning because it was just a funny conversation where Greg just said, you know, because hip laws, he doesn't mention names, and he, you know, would never discuss it in a sexual way, but he was just blown away by how good this woman's breast lift had gone. And, of course, I was thinking in not quite the same
way
he was.
Show me the old titties. Come on.
That's what you were thinking.
Anyway, they've got the injectables. They're doing surgeries usually Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for Diva. And, well, BBL isn't surgery. They've got the new Morpheus 8. I guess Body Tight is technically surgery because it is invasive. And they cook, your skin. And why do they cook your skin? Because it tightens it up. And actually, the results are seen for months afterwards. Your skin tightens up. And in fact, if you do a boob tight, hopefully you'll watch your boobs go higher, higher, a little bit. You won't notice it every day, but in the long run, you will. And they do the, you know, for those who are looking for something less invasive there, they do the fat transfer to breasts now.
Nice.
Which is significant, you know, if it's just something a little less dramatic that you want. So work it. Diva, G-Shots, everything from Dr. Roche, including those injectables, which they've been running a lot of specials on. Call Greg, 248-338-1110, 248-338-1110 for a consult. Nice. Or go to DRROCHE.
Nice.
Oh, the Mother's Day special is going on.
Mother's Day?
Yeah, they're still going on. They expire 531. Okay. So if you want to do that.
Nice.
The Boner line?
Yeah. Well, let's kick it off.
Yeah, let's hear it.
True Mark as Trudy.
Vocal fry.
Brandon.
Pushing it too.
Joey.
No energy.
Just called to say, hey, Zeus.
How are you?
Hey, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
I used to like soccer a lot too. But then I turned 12. Up.
Center holds it.
Har, har.
Holds it.
You're lost.
Boring.
You're
lost. I just wanted to thank you guys. I was laid off for a couple months because of your drops. I caught up with Baskets.
I know!
And Eastbound and Down.
So hey, put a dick in your mouth and shut up.
And It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Did you bang my wife?
So thank you for introducing me to Stevie Janowski.
What's up, dog?
Mrs. Baskets.
I'm in between sizes.
And Frank Reynolds.
Goddamn shoes.
All because of your drop.
Okay, cool.
So I listen to the show every day in its entirety, but I cannot figure out what the drop of water sound going into the bucket, what that drop is all about. It's either when somebody does a shout out or when somebody says something that they think is important, but for the life of me, I cannot figure out the meaning of that is.
It's when Maz says something that has no place being said where it's being said.
It's a piece of information.
It's random fact.
We should have the sound of something going to the moon.
It is for Brandon. Got finished playing Red Dead Redemption 2.
You're playing Red Dead Redemption 2?
I gotta say, favorite part of the game was the Night Folk. They should have had more missions with them.
What? Gonna go home and play me some Red Dead Redemption 2. I got a train to Robin Valentine.
Mark, Brandon, that show on Netflix, I think you should leave. It's fucking horrible.
Wrong.
You guys are both dumbasses.
Oh, you're so wrong.
Is that the Tom Robinson show?
Tom Robinson, yes. Fucking stupid.
No, it wasn't.
It's the first person ever.
You guys are stupider for watching this show.
My instincts tell me you're wrong as a dong all day long.
All right. The Jim Davis Garfield house is kind of funny. Go fuck yourself.
Low energy person.
Hi, guys. I'd like to hear the best story I ever heard about Mike when he fell asleep on the toilet while he was smoking a cigarette, and he put the cigarette between his legs and the cloud deck and how it caught fire. That is, I think, his most hilarious story. And if you guys would play that, that'd be just like the greatest.
Listen to the very end of the show.
My company recently picked up a contract where I delivered to Fox 2 News.
Oh.
And I see Dina Santafante as I'm leaving. And the only thing going through my head when I see her now is Beavis's voice. So thank you guys for that. Appreciate it. I'm petrified. She's going to say something to me like, hello, or how you doing? And I'm going to be like,
ah, it's Dina.
Oh, God. All I got to say is I'm a millennial, and I am sick and fucking tired of all these asshole millennials giving me a bad name.
I agree.
All the same.
I tip well, pay my own way, do it all, have a great job, everything.
You need to do something about your millennials.
I just wanted to call in regards to this whole upside down okay. I had absolutely no idea that was a sign of white supremacy.
I'm not a racist.
Like, my kids play that. Like, my two boys play it all the time.
Racist.
And I know they play it at school, too. It's a little concerning. It's absolutely
bullshit.
Oh, well, fake news.
Yeah, I'm calling about the blatant disrespect from Drew and Mark about my favorite movie and possibly one of the top five movies ever created.
Oh, boy.
Dances with Wolves.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
If it was up to me, Trump should have been putting that Medal of Freedom around Kevin Costner's neck rather than Tiger Woods.
Huh.
Drew, you gave it, what, 20 minutes, you said? You didn't even see the buffalo hunt. Quite possibly one of the most intense cinematic sequences ever created. Not to mention the soundtrack to the movie. Fucking amazing. Listen to it. I don't even need to mention the scenery and beauty of Out West. Have you ever been Out West? Oh my God. I own 3 copies of the movie. I bought it on DVD.
Dreamweaver's just wailing right now. No wonder he loves the movie. He's as boring as the movie.
They had an anniversary edition that came out a little while ago. I think it was the 20th anniversary. I bought that. Give it another chance. You're not going to be disappointed.
It only has an 82 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Soccer fucking blows.
What?
Plain and simple.
That's right.
It's still shorter than Dances with the Wolves.
Listening to the Sunday Monday where you're going through all the one-star reviews, the hotels in Petoskey. I got to tell you, a lot of that sounds like it could be a review of Drew's basement.
What?
You got blood all over the place from Mags's toe bleeding. It's too cold down there all the time. There's always leftover pizza crust, chicken bones, peanut shells, whatever from Denny. Your bathroom doesn't work, and you got shitty Wi-Fi. I mean, I never been there, but just saying.
I'm just saying what everyone's thinking here. Sorry, not sorry.
That's it. Well, house has turned on me. We know that. Nobody said it wasn't a POS house. That's not news.
Can't beat them. Yeah,
I broke that story a long time ago.
But we will have the Mike Clark story at the end of the show today.
Yes. Okay.
And I just want to say, what's the runtime for Dances with Wolves?
Oh, it's long.
Oh, it's a debacle. I defy
it's 4 anyone. Hours.
I defy anyone to watch it.
You can watch 2 soccer games in that time.
I think it's like Hamilton. People pretend they like it because they think they're supposed to like
but
it.
No one pretends they like Stanton. They like
I
dances.
Like
you won all the awards.
Well, I liked it the one time I watched it. I've never really took 4 hours out of my life and watched it again, but exactly. I have seen clips of it and Tatanka.
It won all the Oscars, remember?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and everyone hated it.
Yeah.
Brandon's pretending he likes so it because he thinks it makes him sound more intelligent.
What's the, no, there's another movie like that, The English Patient. Remember The English
Patient?
Yeah,
I do.
Same thing. So much so Seinfeld even poked fun at it.
I semi-appreciated The English Patient. I'm not going to say I loved it, but I think I made it through and it had some moments.
Oh. But nothing from Dances.
Well, Fiennes is in that, right?
Right,
English
yeah.
Patient, yeah. And who's the female in that movie?
Oh, boy.
Is it Rachel Weisz?
Weiss?
Weiss?
Yeah. If that's her, I don't know. It's also the Seinfeld episode pops up, too. Juliette Binoche.
Oh, Juliette Binoche. Okay. Yeah. She's kind of hot.
She's very hot.
Yeah. Okay. I was watching Willie Geist this morning on the Today Show.
Yeah.
And he did the story about Mick Jagger's Instagram video.
Yeah, where he's dancing.
It's like a story about 4 days old.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's got Brandon's prep.
I always
love you, Jagger.
If somebody says Rolling Stones, I'm of course looking up and paying attention. And it was fine. No big deal. I wasn't going to complain. But then he mentions that. And I'll see you guys at the August 1st show at the MetLife Stadium. And it's like, oh, Willie Geist is a huge Stones fan. Doesn't that demean it a little bit?
You don't like Willie? You're not a fan of Willie Geist?
No, he's okay. But he just, I don't want to see him rocking out at a Stone show.
I like, you remember, do you know who his dad is, right? Bill Geist, who was always on the old man show doing the wacky stories.
Yes.
Zeitgeist.
I like Bill Geist.
Zeitgeist is his grandfather.
He's
a nice guy. He had a long interview with David Letterman, which was.
I like the way he inserted himself into the Stones article, though.
That was kind of nice. I don't know why it bothered me.
And what that means is anybody that sees him there can now bother him.
But Willie Geist isn't that old. Why wouldn't you see him rocking out? Is it just because he's kind of Magoo?
Yeah, a little bit.
He
just said he's been a Stones fan for 30 years, a hardcore Stones fan. I don't know. It just didn't feel good. I felt like I don't want to be in a category with Willie Geist, even though I like Willie Geist. I don't want to think of, you know, if you put like all my people that belong in my rock world in one room just to rock
Geist,
out.
Geist
I don't
is
want,
there.
No, Geist is
oh, he's
not
totally
in
there.
The room.
Yeah, no, he's there.
Although there may be a 13-year-old with a David Bowie shirt in the room because I saw this kid in line at Dunkin' Donuts and he had a David Bowie shirt on. I was like,
Cool.
I said, what, you're into David Bowie? And he goes, yeah, I love Bowie. And I said, really? And I said, what's your favorite album? And before he could say anything, his friend goes, Ziggy Stardust.
I was like,
I want to say, well, that's a pretty trite answer. I mean, you could have said Hunky Dory.
He's being honest.
Maybe. But we were talking about Bowie for a while. I was connecting to these 13-year-olds.
And then they reported you maybe. For talking to two 13-year-olds.
But,
you know who else would be in the Room of Rock would be James Corden. You see the special that's airing Monday night?
A carpool karaoke special?
Brandon, TV, quick. Oh. It just aired. The promo just aired. Celine Dion, BTS.
With Celine Dion and more. Monday at 10, 9 central on CBS.
Sweet. You're there.
Do those do well? They must. Oh, yeah. He's at a
couple. Well, first off, it doesn't cost anything to do them because they've already done the bit.
Yeah.
Pretty weak.
So anyway, he did talk to Letterman, which was it's always fun to see Letterman. Although I'm so bummed about all my guest needs no introduction or this guest needs no introduction. And every time I see something about this show, of course they have to obligatorily mention Melinda Gates.
Yeah.
Even though Bill Gates is net worth goes down about 0.0001. Every time he has to call in a favor for Melinda Gates to promote her stupid book.
It's worth it to get her out of the house.
Or it goes up 0.003 every time he has to stay in the kitchen until she's done. And it goes up, it goes down 0.009 every time he has to drive the kids 40 minutes to school and pick them up. But, yeah, Dave was promoting his new Netflix show, and I don't know. I thought it was more fun watching Willie Geist interview him, honestly, because they were in Montana.
Yeah.
And they were about to go fishing, and just watching Dave be Dave is fun. I don't like these serious. I just don't like Dave serious. I don't know why. You know, he was talking about Trump for a while. I thought he had a decent take, though.
He's not always serious.
Well, it's too serious. I liked it when I just liked the old show so much, and I thought that it would be something the old show.
But like Stern, he's grown up. You know, he's evolved.
I feel like it was. Like me on 105.1, but on a much larger scale. It's a much bigger fuck up. Although, I don't know, maybe people watch it. I don't even watch the show. I watched the one he had Howard on, and then I started to watch the next one. I was like, this is, like, boring.
Worth Paul.
Let's see what else. A couple of things from that. Oh, yeah, from Sunday Morning TV. this is kind of funny. I was watching Jane Pauley on The Old Man Show.
Mm-hmm.
And Jane Pauley was talking about Florence.
The city?
Yeah. And they were going on and on about David, Michelangelo's David. Oh, yeah. And the giant statue. Yeah. And
Tiny dog.
I know. First of all, can we give David 3 inches?
Keep expectations low. Okay. That's what most men look like.
That's okay. But I'm convinced that everyone just looks at his dick first.
Oh, yeah. Come on. It's right at your eye level.
And was David nude when he threw the rock at Goliath? Why is he nude?
You know, it's funny. I never thought of it that way.
I mean, that's the David, right? Yes. Like David Goliath, yeah. And, I mean, seriously.
I never thought about it. I guess he was nude.
I guess he was nude.
Yeah.
Why was he nude? I mean, you think he'd have a loincloth on or something.
That's how much of an underdog he was. He didn't even have clothing, Drew.
And he has small penis. Because if I were David, I would think my penis isn't going to intimidate him. I'll put on some shorts or something.
He used it as a distractionary method, like MacGruber, when he put the celery in his ass. He's like, look at my small dong. And then Goliath looked, and he shot the slingshot.
Right. You like what you see? Yeah.
Apparently, Michelangelo, he really wanted to kind of use that Greek god type thing where they're all nude.
Oh, what a creep.
Well... Could they explain that when they talk about David and Goliath? By the way, he's nude because
Michelangelo's
statue.
A creep.
And also, I didn't know the statue was so huge. I mean, it's huge.
Yeah, it's very big. Uh-huh.
Okay, doesn't that make for a large margin of error? I mean, wouldn't the statue be more impressive?
A little dung. That bush. It looks like David shaved up to a point.
Yeah, that's... Oh, boy. I don't know. It seems like he was pissed at David or something, so he decided to make this giant statue and give him a small penis.
How weird would it be if it
he's
didn't
cold.
Like him? How weird would it be if it was
a Goliath fan?
If it was like 9 inches. Michelangelo just gave David
inches,
a huge donger.
It would have been broken off over time.
You're right. Someone would have carried it by it.
But I, you know, they went on and on about how this is the most incredible thing. Everyone wants to see David. And as I was looking at him, I'm going, but it's so big.
Yeah.
The detail isn't that hard because it's so big. If it was really small, then it would be really more impressive. The fact that it's so huge.
If it was a miniature.
Yeah, if it was, well, just smaller at least. I mean, it's like three stories high. It looked easy to make. Yeah, it would just take a long time.
It took a long time. That's
I know he did take a long time, anybody could do it.
Think of all that time he spent on scaffolding, like 2 inches from just to get that penis perfect.
Well, the dick was the hardest part in the statue.
He spent
the
lot of time in the crotch.
The dick and the hair, everything else looked pretty easy to me. And then...
Can you imagine back in that time, people... Oh, God, my God, you're still on his penis? Jeez.
No, get a room with his penis, just Michelangelo.
Just chopping away at his dick. Come for on, like Mike. 5 months.
Get past the Mike. Dick, Mike. Then the other thing was, I'm thinking about this and the whole, you know, David Goliath.
Maybe it's like, have you ever made something and you screwed up so you can try to fix it, and then it ends up smaller and smaller. Maybe he tried to make the dick like 7 inches.
Oh, and he kept making mistakes? Yeah, so he has to take more. Well, it just has to be a little smaller, I guess.
All right, carry on.
Well, I was so caught up in this story that I started reading about David because I just was like, what's it? First of all, why is he nude? That was my main question.
That's a great question.
And there was no answer anywhere. But then as I,
Brandon answered it in like 5 seconds.
Well, I know, but I mean, it just, that didn't, I don't know. I just want to know if he was nude for the battle.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
No, he wasn't nude. So he changed history. And also the other thing was,
really know.
He picked up 5 stones. No, not five, wait. He picked up 5, was it stones or? Yeah, it was 5 stones from a brook to take on Goliath. He hits him with the first one in between his eyes on his forehead. And I'm thinking, that took Goliath down? 1 stone between, isn't Goliath a little soft?
No, man. No
one
way.
Stone? I mean, he didn't say he picked up 5 giant rocks.
This isn't like a Bart Simpson slingshot. This is the one that you...
It's like getting shot.
He whipped that mofo. Yeah, and it hit him right, boom, right in between the eyes.
Well, I would think it would have stunned him, no doubt. And then he would have gotten up really pissed and just wailed on him.
Because Goliath is kind of, you know, like the mountain, you know, from
right.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But no. Plus, Jesus was on David's side. So that stone had some holy intervention.
Wait, was Jesus around then?
Well, then why does David get so much credit?
Sorry, God. I apologize.
Same difference.
Does David get too much credit? I mean, a stone?
What do you think? Do you think there was like a Steve and a Bill and a Tommy there too, and they all shot and missed, but David's the one that hit him?
No.
No.
What?
I don't believe that.
You don't think there were a bunch of guys firing away?
I just think
David's
Goliath,
the one that just happened to hit him?
I think it was a closer matchup than we are led to believe. I think Goliath was soft.
Oh, really?
I think so. Just, 1 stone in the forehead.
He's like
he's
a big
out.
Softy.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know.
He's really threatening, but when it came down to it, he's kind of a puss.
Mark, you need to read your Book of Samuel.
He didn't even have to use all 5
Why?
Stones.
Why? What about it?
Because it'll tell you. It'll
Brandon, isn't it the first
because
stone?
Because everything in the Bible's true.
Wasn't he taken out by the first stone?
Well, according to the Bible.
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
I think there was a whole lineup of them, and they all fired, and he's the one that got lucky.
And the other thing is, David goes over and cuts his fucking head off.
Well, yeah, I mean, come on. You already won. You got to send a message.
He did. He cut his head off.
To the rest
and raised
of the Philistines.
It
was a little dramatic. I mean, you really have to do that? I mean, well, he was freak out.
He's got the energy. He's the one that got the lucky shot
in. It was like trial by combat, you know, just instead of all, you know, everybody battling a huge war, it's, hey, we're going to send our champion, you send your champion. And then the winner wins.
The part they kept out of the Book of Samuel is how he skull fucked it, which I thought was a little over the top.
That's blasphemous.
What? Why? Oh, and cutting the head off isn't?
Not with your enemy.
Well, then why can't you just have sex with his head too?
Mark, read your Bible.
I didn't know the Bible was directly the word.
It's the word of God.
Mm. Can you pull up the ML story?
It was cute.
The Soul of Detroit. ML was talking about Bob Berg, Coleman Young's press secretary, and also Kwame's. And ML was sorry that Bob, but he was friends with Bob Berg. Bob Berg died at 76. And I thought first of all, the Kwame story I always wondered about when he gave the State of the City. And he just went off on, you know, all these death threats, and he'd been called the N-word so many times. I'm thinking, wait a second, the city just buried the N-word, first of all, so why is he saying it?
He resurrected.
And second of all, I didn't believe him. It was like, oh, he's in trouble, so he's just trying to throw the race card out, which he was. But I thought, I liked the way ML explained it, and then also the Coleman Young story was really funny.
Regaled
I thought
me with some amazing behind the
plus
scenes
plus my
tales.
Basement was on Fox 2
last
again
last week. Sweet. Cancer deprived me of that pleasure, that privilege.
He's that most extraordinary thing where he worked for politicians who often had questions about their integrity, and he dealt with reporters who often
Wheels t-shirt
asked
in the background
about the integrity of his employers, and he somehow managed
deals
to maintain the trust and the respect of both parties, which is extraordinary. I always wanted to do a story called Bob Berg Secrets, where we have Bob tell all these great stories from over the years.
Bob saw and heard things that would make a local historian drool. When the Red Wings moved out of Joe Louis Arena, he revealed how Mayor Coleman Young gambled with a wad of federal money to keep the team in town.
They started saying, well, Mr. Mayor, you know, how can you start to build something when you don't have the financing, you don't have the architectural plans or a contract? And he finally said, well, said, I've got $5 million Jimmy Carter dollars, and if nothing else, we're going to dig the deepest hole in the state of Michigan. Now either get on board or get out of the way.
When Jim Schaefer and I needed to tell Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick we had his incriminating text messages, we turned to Bob. I told him we needed to talk to the mayor, but I couldn't tell him why.
He told me I was making an extraordinary request, one that he would be hard-pressed to fulfill without more information.
I wrote about those tense days and the proposal for a book I'm hoping to publish one day.
I said, Bob, we've known each other a long time. I think the fact that I'm making this request this way should tell you how serious this matter is.
When we didn't hear back, I had to tip our hand. I told Bob we were getting ready to publish text messages revealing Kilpatrick's affair with his chief of staff and their decision to fire the deputy police chief who was investigating them.
Berg suddenly understood I didn't say more before. Still hoping against hope there might be a way for the mayor to wriggle out of the trap he had made for himself, Berg asked, they're pretty explicit, huh?
Then there was Kilpatrick's infamous 2008 State of the City address.
In the past 30 days,
I hate this guy.
I've been called a more than any time in my entire life. In the past 3 days, I've received more death threats than I have in my entire administration.
Bob said, well, first of all, that wasn't in the speech. What happened was we had agreed on a very meticulously prepared and carefully crafted speech. And then Kilpatrick felt the room, felt the energy, which of course he's going to feel because it's only his sycophants in there. And he started to big time it, and he just riffed at the end.
After the speech, Bob and I had a very heated phone conversation in which I said, if someone is threatening the mayor, show us the threats. We'll do a story on it.
Bob admitted that the comments and the threats, they weren't threats. They were posts at the end of stories that appeared in the Detroit News and the Detroit Free Press.
Bob's obituary in the Detroit Free Press recounted a time when he gave a political operative the kind of sage advice that made him one of Michigan's most influential men.
We'll let you listen to Soul of Detroit from here.
The other thing on that episode I thought was how close, and I don't know how many people know this, that ML came to working for Kilpatrick.
I don't think he would have worked for Quame, but I guess he was close to, he was thinking about it. He didn't, though.
He said he was incredibly close to accepting it.
I could see doing that at the time, except that look at what we would have missed if he
had. Well, that's what I said. I wonder what this bizarro world would be, but he said he'd only worked there
Kwame'd still be mayor.
You never know.
Probably would be.
But he answers, hell yeah. He answers why he turned the job down, which I think it's a good enough tease to download the podcast and listen to it.
Yeah, it was a good show. I like the show.
Walchek was on.
Yeah, Walchek popped in.
Congratulations to Fox 2 for beating.
Did you see Alan Longstreet highlights?
What? No.
Alan Longstreet.
Is he a ball hog?
He can hoop it. Yeah, he might have been hogging a little bit.
Longstreet's a ball
hog. But he's talented. He's on the air. He probably should ball hog. Showed some good vision. Well,
he does all the
court vision.
Yeah, there he is. Oh, God, look at that fat face. He does all the workout stuff on Fox 2, too. Like, they show him working out all the time, Longstreet.
He does?
Yes. And Joanna used to work out next to him at her gym.
Really?
Yeah. See, yeah, there's a picture of him.
I don't see
out.
Any chicks on the floor. I thought women are just as good at men as everything.
Well, there's an answer to that, too, in the
what?
Soul of Detroit, Rob Walchick.
I heard that. Yeah, that was funny. Is he going to get some pissy email over that?
He might have got a pissy comment from Sean.
I want to go. What did Sean say?
You'll have to listen.
I'm trying to remember because I heard it.
Sean's funnier than I thought he'd be. He's got a lot of
deadpan.
He's
very dry, yeah. He's a funny dude.
There was a... The comment
Although
about
I don't
him,
like his new column, by the way. I can't wait to tell him.
His new column?
Yeah.
About...
He wrote a column on Michigan's basketball search and how winning shouldn't be the priority.
Oh, please, really? Really? What should the priority be?
The culture. It's got to be a fit, was his point. It's got to fit.
The culture?
The winning has to fit within the... I told you I didn't agree with it.
Jalen Rose is saying it's a huge setback if Juwan Howard doesn't get the job.
He seems to be the front runner.
Why not?
Right now.
Why not Juwan?
Yeah, why not Juwan? I was wondering how many. Thing. You sound like you didn't want Juwan to get the job.
How many former NBA players turned college coaches are a success? Chris Mullin failed.
No, St. John's was down when he got there.
Yeah, and
he turned it around.
And he did nothing. Ewing, I don't think.
Oh, Patrick Ewing, I wouldn't expect much out of Patrick Ewing.
But Patrick Ewing is very comparable to Juwan in his path to get to that spot.
Well,
that's the best comparison in my mind.
I don't know. I hate putting people in categories like that, saying, oh, well, foreign players don't do well, therefore Juwan can't do well.
I understand
I would base
that.
It on Juwan. Is he a good recruiter? Is he a good, you know, if you bring in the great players, you should win.
I think that goes without saying. My problem is I think people see that name in the connection and automatically want to leap to that as opposed to what else might be out there.
How many former NBA players are coaching college basketball? Are there that many?
Well, Avery Johnson, wasn't he pretty good in Alabama, or am I completely wrong on that?
Well, Avery Johnson was a fall from grace because he was an NBA coach that was a failure that went to Alabama and then didn't he just get fired too?
I just can't think of that many former NBA players.
Clyde Drexler, didn't Clyde go back to Houston?
Yeah, but that was a joke. That was just Clyde needed a job. Juwan Howard is legitimately trying to make a career as a coach, isn't he? Has he been an assistant coach for a few years?
Well, Juwan's always seemed like a very intelligent guy to me, too.
I have no problem with Juwan Howard, the guy. I'm not nuts if he's the next coach.
Well, who are the top candidates? I don't even know. Who else is up there?
I don't know. There was some talk about
Shaka Smart.
Shaka Smart, which there was some talk about LaVal Jordan, which
Well, who's the top candidate?
Juwan Howard, that's probably why.
Okay.
But where's the Billy Donovan? Did they even go to him? I don't know.
And I thought it was so stupid.
Juwan Howard, let's just do it and pull the trigger.
I'm so tired of takes.
I know. They're the worst.
Jay Williams at Michigan needs Juwan Howard for the culture, which sounds similar to what you were talking about.
Yeah.
And someone said, the culture? They've been in two championships in the last 6 years or something. They've been Beeline's NCAA record is incredible. He said, I'm not talking about winning. I'm talking about the culture. They haven't had the culture since the Fab Five. I'm like, what culture are we? What are you
talking about?
Culture
of players
about?
Leaving early for the NBA? That's not a bad culture to have.
I don't know what he's talking about. I have no idea.
I don't get it either.
But I don't. The more I thought about it, the more I didn't blame Beeline for leaving, and the more I don't know why I didn't think he would ever leave. Now that I think about it, because honestly, he's a guy who's been in amateur sports at every level for so many years, and amateur sports is such a polluted pile of shit now at that level. With these people are giant stars by the time they're 15. Their asses have to be kissed. They disappear in a year, 2 years, 3 years, and it's an endless cycle of get the guys, get the guys, get the guys.
Perfect example of what a stand-up guy Beeline is. Did you see he came back for the Chad Tough auction over the weekend?
I saw him on the news.
Yeah. He said he made the commitment. He said they asked him to be the chair. He said he would do it, so he came back.
He seems like he would be that kind of guy.
Yeah, no, he's a great dude.
Yeah, it's a really too bad.
Yeah,
but I don't.
He's also a great person.
I don't know anybody that's mad at him.
Oh, some people are bitching. He promised the players. What about the recruits he promised?
So what? That happens every day. What about the recruits that changed?
Well, Elric was bitching at him, wasn't he? Because
he
just signed an extension, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
And by the way, I still don't. I know I'm being stupid here. I understand why people sign long contracts and leave 1 year later and they let them go, because I guess the theory is that, well, if you don't let them go, you're keeping them a place where they don't want to be, or they insisted on a buyout, so they paid a lot of money to make them. I don't understand why no one can just sign a contract that's a real live contract where it's 3 years and you stay those 3 years, and at the midway through the third year, they decide if they give you a new contract, like most jobs. Because there is a commitment when you sign. Why sign a 7-year deal if you can leave after 6 months?
Usually, if you don't love it, leave it.
Thank you.
Usually, don't contracts have like non-competes?
Well, yes, yeah. They do. And it seems to me in college basketball, you have promised this recruit that, yeah, I want to take care of you. I want to make sure you behave. You know, I'm like your father on campus for 4 years. And then you leave a year later, and it's like, wait, they need a 5-year contract. Yeah, but he didn't want to be here anyway, so what's the point? I don't know. It just seems so scummy to me. That's
why players should be able to leave in a year.
Yeah, what's the why are the players so shit on all the time? They can't sell their image. They don't even own their own image.
They're kids. They wouldn't have an image if it wasn't for the university.
Blah, blah, blah. So I watched, I was on kind of a binge
The horse
watch.
Race?
I saw the horse race, the jockeyless horse, which did pretty darn well.
Well, yeah, he was the only thing going through that horse's mind was freedom.
Yeah, the horse was actually kind of it was on a leisurely run because, like, I don't have that fucking guy on my back. I'm gonna enjoy this. But he was up towards the front for a good part of the race.
Did you see how they punished that horse right after?
Well, the only
they
way.
Killed it. Yeah. Did they kill it?
Yeah, they had
killed
to.
A horse literally almost on the field, didn't they?
Yeah, they're taking shots like mid-race. So you can see.
They're shooting at him while he's running.
Yeah, yeah. You can see dirt flying up.
I saw the site you sent me, Brandon, which is like horse. What's it called?
There's like a website that it basically collects every single horse that is being killed.
Well, Santa
Anita, which is tons of them.
Santa Anita had another one that they had to kill. What is that, like 50 in the last year? And this one they killed because he had a sore shoulder. So they just put the horse down.
It can't possibly. No, if I have horses in the back and I feed him and we ride him in my yard and stuff, like people have horses,
yeah.
And it doesn't compete.
Yeah.
If my horse hurts his shoulder, do I have to shoot the horse?
Apparently, yeah. Mm-hmm.
My shoulder.
Because it's just too expensive to get.
I'm serious.
The point is that they wouldn't get that injury if they were just being horses instead of being ridden as fast as possible, nonstop.
So where are the animal rights people?
You know, well,
are they betting on the race?
It's not too busy betting on the race.
It's not
that the animal rights people don't care, and this is where, okay, I might flip a little bit to the horse people because they really don't care, and they just tell them to fuck off for still running these things, which is kind of cool that they just tell them to suck it.
People went right after Tom Masway, too, during this jockeyless horse, and he was fighting everybody tooth and nail.
Oh, I'm sure he won.
That horse got last place. That horse was a loser.
So he deserved to be shot.
I was laughing, though, because I always rag Tom for horse racing being like 2 minutes long and all this buildup. I was so excited for the Deontay Wilder fight last night, which lasted less than 2 minutes.
Well, those Tyson fights used to always...
Oh, the same way. Well, Wilder's so like 19 people out in the first round, I think.
That was quite that a punch.
But, holy God.
Yeah, but the horse racing is a guaranteed
two minutes. You're right.
You know.
But I was really into boxing because I watched the whole Muhammad Ali documentary. And I think I've asked Drew maybe how many times? 80 times if you've watched it?
I'm going to watch it after the show. I'm excited about it. I love Muhammad Ali.
I watched it
and
too.
Anytime,
did you?
Yeah.
The beauty
it's
of
so good.
Anything you watch on Muhammad Ali or Joe Namath is you get a lot of Cosell.
Yeah.
Cosell picked his people. There were certain people he just loved and he became connected to them. So, I want to watch it.
They show that one interview. Was it Ali and Frazier and Cosell's there? And he's like, all right, that's it. And then they start tussling. And he's like, all right, keep it rolling now. He's just directing the cameraman where to go.
I had no idea that this was a new documentary. It was just playing in my house. I just figured it was something old that was being rerun.
Did you get hooked?
But I did get hooked
because it
had so much of the shit talking of Muhammad Ali that I had never heard.
The story that Mark's talking about is the... Ali was suspended for 3 years because he was a draft dodger.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't go to Vietnam. He was a pacifist. So when the 3 years ended, when he was suspended, it was like, oh, his career's over.
Mm-hmm.
Peak of his career, peak years. He'll be 30 when it's done. He won't have trained. He won't have fought. He'll be done. And he was the champion. So while he was suspended, Joe Frazier took the title. And when Ali got out, I believe his first fight was Jimmy Ellis, who was a good boxer, but he was expected to win. Then Joe Frazier, the fight of the century, I think they called it. And
at Madison Square Garden.
At Madison Square Garden, 15 rounds. And in those days, if you want to see a fight, you had to see it on closed circuit. People would pay $50 to go see a fight. They'd go to the... That's 72, I think, when Frazier lost the title to Joe Frazier. Down goes Charles!
That's what I was thinking.
So, anyway, people would go, maybe the Fillmore or the Fox, and they'd show it live, and that was the only way you could see it live.
I told you before, my dad went for Tyson Spinks that lasted 91 seconds.
Well, that was what I was just talking about. I was thinking about was Spinks and Tyson, and there were a few other ones that were extremely short when he got out of prison. Anyway, this fight went 15 rounds, and Ali appeared to be winning. It was close. And then the 14th round, he was fucking around doing rope-a-dope. Mm-hmm. And Frazier caught him with a left and knocked him down. The only knockdown of the fight. And it was a split decision. Frazier won because of the knockdown. Yep. So Saturday, the nation gets to see the fight on Howard Cosell's show. Ali on one side, Frazier on another side. And as they're going through the rounds, virtually every round, Ali's going, I won that round. You know I won that round. It's 11-2. And it was ridiculous because Frazier couldn't get a word in edgewise. I think Frazier thought he was down 7-6 or 8-5, and then the knockdown comes in the 14th. Well, Frazier got so sick of Ali claiming he was ahead by so much that they tussled. And when they did go to commercial, they came back, and Frazier was gone. It was just Ali with Howard and basically claiming he won every round after that.
Yeah.
And then declaring that he won the fight.
There's another fight he did that where he claimed he won it, even though he lost. It might have been Ken Norton.
Ken Norton, yeah.
Which he admitted, that's very similar to Tyson Douglas. He admitted he fucked around the whole training time. And just
he also broke his jaw in the first round.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. But that was not a bad fight. All the Norton fights were good.
Which jaw was broken in the first round? Ali's?
Ali's jaw. Norton. So he had to fight with a broken jaw for 12 rounds.
Oh.
And then he came back, though, when Foreman knocked out Frazier, Ali said, I'm going to beat, I think it was Ken Norton, I'm going to avenge that loss, then I'm going to beat Frazier, then I'm going to beat Foreman. And people are like, ha, 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 because he was always talking shit. He beat all of them. And the Foreman one was the amazing one because he knocked him out. Foreman was the guy with the big punch. Ali was the aging, you know, he still was so quick, and he was a great fighter.
The Rumble? Was Foreman the Rumble in the
jungle? The something in Zaire? Was that Zaire with Foreman, I believe?
When it ended for Muhammad, boy, did it end quick, and boy, did he look bad.
I know. I hate him thinking about that. It was so horrible to watch.
I didn't know this. I can't recommend it enough. There's no narration. There's no current interviews. It's all footage.
They have all the footage.
But I didn't know that a lot of his... rhyming and the big persona comes from professional wrestling and Gorgeous George.
Yeah. Oh, no. He was hilarious.
It was really fascinating, but he saw that this guy
floats
was a heel.
Floats like a butterfly, stings like a bee.
I'm the gay Mike Tyson.
And people went and paid to see the heel.
And when he got out, when the suspension ended, I just remember my dad hated him. He's a draft dodger. My dad was in World War II. He was in Korea. And a lot of people felt that way. If they had any sense of, a lot of people didn't like his connection, religious connections.
The Nation of Islam connection is really weird.
It's very strange. But with younger people like myself, who just watched this guy on TV and he had this incredible personality, he was an incredible boxer, he was revered, absolutely revered. He was nothing like watching an Ali fight. It was just so much fun.
I was thinking about this when I was watching it too, particularly at that time when he's when he's meeting with Jim Brown, and Lou Alcindor, he's some of the stuff he says is pretty spot on. But all I can think of is what if social media existed then, like how Twitter just would have torn into Muhammad Ali.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine how many followers Muhammad Ali would have had.
Yeah, and how much hate he would have had. It would have been Kaepernick times 30.
300 million. Oh, he had plenty of hate then. I mean,
I know, but it's a different kind of hate. It's just all different.
Oh, he's a tough guy. He could have handled it.
And if it wasn't for Cosell, I wonder how quickly he would have won over the public. Because Cosell backed him.
Yeah, Cosell absolutely backed him. And Cosell took a lot of shit, too. I wanted to mention the... there was a story today about the Daily Mail about these people who had a camera in their house. They went away, and they had a dog sitter. And it's in the Daily Mail. Can you look it up, Brandon?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Which way can this go?
They checked the camera when they came back, and it turned out, oh, what do you know? There's the boyfriend. Oh, my God, they're going in the master bedroom.
Oh, not with the dog, though?
No, not with the dog.
Okay, that was my fear.
They were screwing up a storm in the master bedroom while they were gone. And then the babysitter herself was kind of a nudist.
Oh, she's gross.
She's lying nude all over their brand new couch.
No towel?
No towel.
Oh.
She's kind of hot.
Wait, that's her?
Yeah.
Wait, the blurred picture, she looks huge.
No, that's the babysitter. One's like a dog walker, the other's a babysitter, right? Or?
Okay, the dog walker did a shitty job, too. Well, there's no babysitter. Oh. She stayed with the dog.
Great pet sitter.
Apparently, she didn't walk the dog either. She just let it out.
There's two chicks here and a dude, so I'm not sure who the third
chick
is.
Wants to walk around someone else's house in the nude?
She did.
Isn't that
weird? She's laying around watching TV nude all over her new couch. Can you see if the owner's listed,
hot,
Brandon? Where's she located, does it say?
Yeah, California.
She's pretty.
Oh, she's got a pretty common name.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I might be able to find it.
No big deal. Also, while you're looking, I was reading about this stupid story where Future threw this ridiculous birthday party for his 5-year-old son, baby Future. He gave him a brand new Rolex watch.
Oh, yeah, you know.
A 5-year-old.
5-year-olds love watches.
And he posts it. Why would you post that?
Because just show off. It's peacocking.
I know, but why? I mean, why
he
don't
thinks
you
that's
wear
cool.
a Rolex?
He thinks but it's cool. He probably
honestly,
does.
Giving your child a Rolex watch when they're 5, first of all, the kid was completely unimpressed.
Well,
the
he
kid
doesn't
was,
know what a Rolex
not,
is.
No, I know. He was uninterested in the watch. He puts it on.
That kid wants a Paw Patrol digital watch.
And then he posts pictures of his kid who looks like he's kind of like, I don't know what this is. I'll put it on, whatever. And then they go on in this story to talk about how Fortune gave his baby a DJ Khaled gave his son a $100,000 gold studded watch.
Wait, are you sure his son didn't earn that since his son is a producer on his albums?
His son? No, this was a year old son.
Yeah,
this
no.
was his first birthday.
No, I know.
DJ that baby is ugly.
DJ Khaled's son is a producer. He gets producer
production
credits.
Credit.
Oh yeah, he's got a
one-year-old.
He's got a massive social media following too. The 1-year-old. Do you not know about this kid?
I didn't really
he
know.
He takes
much about
him to every award show. He's always. It's like
kids love award shows.
It's like when Jackson was holding Webster. DJ Khaled is always holding his kid.
What is wrong with people?
I don't know.
I understand
the DJ
they love
Khaled
their
Assad one is does, really bizarre.
Does this say that they love their children more than anyone else because they give them more expensive things that they don't want?
That kid's got 2 million followers on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's huge. Everybody loves that
he's
guy.
He's an influencer.
Yeah. Man, I'm serious. I think he gets production credit on the album.
Oh, good. I'm sure he does a lot. How far in are we, Brandon?
Oh, 220, and then we have about a 12-minute bit after.
Okay, well, let's get it out of here then so we can run the bit and get the sucker posted.
DJ Khaled did live stream the birth of this child, too, on Snapchat.
Great.
So
that's lovely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, of course, we'll...
life is all downhill.
Everyone will be crying about Game of Thrones.
Well, thank God, you know, they have...
It's going to have a horrible ending.
The counselors, $50 an hour.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
Emilia Clarke wrote a letter to Daenerys, who she plays. It's not a real person, but she wrote a letter.
Really?
Yeah, that's normal.
Crazy.
Could you imagine writing a letter to the character that you played, thanking them? The character should be thanking you for bringing them to life.
That reminds me, I wrote my 17-year-old self a letter this weekend.
Very similar. Very similar concept.
Well, who is it that wrote a letter to their 17-year-old self? Was it Rosie O'Donnell? Somebody like that.
Oh, man.
And there was a big story about it, like, oh, this is such an emotional letter she wrote to her 17-year-old self. Like her 17-year-old self exists.
No, wait. Chrissy Metz definitely did.
Oh, that's right. Chrissy Metz did it.
I there must be more, though.
I don't know. Sometimes everything is so dumb, I can hardly stand. I feel like...
Oh, boy. Apparently a lot of people do. Just type in letter to 17-year-old.
Oh, Jesus. I wanted to mention over the last few decades, if you haven't been paying attention to your investments, you might want to call Luke Nowacki. Maybe you got a 401k and you haven't checked on how your choices you made 20 years ago are doing. You might want to check with Luke Nowacki to plan your financial future. Check with Luke and his team, 248-663-4748. Securities Investment Advisory Service, other Rollins Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Rollins Associates Incorporated, separately owned and other entities and or marketing names, product services, reference here, independent Rollins Associates Incorporated. Here comes the Mike Clark bit.
Not a big lead up into this one. Well, it's the weekend, so naturally I'm feeling no pain. The night wears on.
Keeping late hours.
Oh, yeah, keeping late hours. Time for bed, about 2:30-ish. So go to bed, and then I wake up. Oh, it must have been, oh, man, maybe this time, maybe like 3:30 in the morning. So I woke up, had to go to the bathroom. So head off to the bathroom.
Boy, I hate that.
Yeah, I can't stand. Boy, that makes me mad.
I'm like a half sleepwalker.
Yes.
And half awake.
Yep.
And weird things happen when I get up in the middle of the night.
Me too. Me too, Drew. And this was the weirdest one ever.
Nothing this weird, but.
So usually I don't end up smoking when I got up. But of course, you know, I was still feeling kind of no pain.
Well, it's still Saturday night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, so I end up carrying a cigarette with me, and I decide that my bathroom escapade is going to involve a little more
a numero dos.
Yeah. Yeah, which was shocking.
Sweet.
To me, and really made me mad, because I don't want to deal with that in the middle of the night when I'm half asleep.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's an awful lot to have to expel in the middle of your sleep pattern.
I kind of think of that as an afternoon activity or a morning type thing. But generally when the sun is up. Deal with an issue like that when it's dark out.
Yeah, you can't really appreciate it, can you?
No, not at all. And so, so anyway. So I sit down, which is very dangerous because I'm really tired, you know. And when I sit down, when I'm really tired, I'm known to go out. And I've actually slept on the toilet upwards of 2 hours.
Yeah, you have rather infamously, many of the mornings when you have been late or close to late, it's because you fell asleep on the toilet.
Exactly.
In fact, I'm amazed at how often that's what happened.
Yeah, yeah. And I've gotten in this habit where it really feels nice to take a load off and just sit down. And boy, you get comfortable.
Take
really
a load quick. Off.
And you get comfortable really quick. But boy, if you go 2 hours, I've noticed I literally have to peel my legs off the seat.
Are you sitting down? Are you sitting down in the bathroom to pee?
Sometimes.
Pussy.
No, but I'm true. I'm so exhausted.
Sitting down in the bathroom to pee.
You think it's bad? You ought to try it in the middle. I'm talking about in the middle of the night, not during the daytime. In the middle of the night, when you're in that sleepwalking thing, sit down and tell me it's not sweet.
It's probably a lot safer.
It's pretty damn nice. But I go right out, boom, and then I have to peel my legs off the seat. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Couple hours later, yeah.
And then I'm afraid to look at the clock to see how much time has gone by, because I can tell based on how easy it is to peel my legs off the seat how long I've been out. Almost to the minute. I can come within 10 minutes. And so in those 2 hour ones when it's like just impossible, I almost need a putty knife to get myself off the toilet. That's a 2 hour one. That it's a quote bad one. You know, or I'll hear Trish in the other room going, Michael! Like, jeez, you know. You know, and then what'll happen too on those 2 hour deals, you know, I carry this little blue light with me, like those, you know, those little lights for your car keys.
You have a nightlight you carry with you around at night?
Yeah, to lead my way to the bathroom, yeah. Now, Mark, you have one of those, don't you? You carry
this
light?
This is a quite revealing story.
I know. I got a whole system down.
In the morning I use my cell phone a la Larry Harris. Was it Larry Harrison who used it? Michigan Wolverine who exposed himself.
Oh, yeah.
Illuminated his penis with his cell phone.
With his cell phone? Oh, I should try that.
Well, anyway. Cell phone.
Well, I had this little blue light. And so when I wake up after 2 hours, the light will be burning away on the ground. My glasses on the ground.
Is that the function?
I'll find my glasses next to the toilet. the blue light will be over here burning away.
Is a must-go toilet.
Is that the function of the blue light, by the way? Is it supposed to be a night light, quote-unquote, or just a flashlight?
I keep it next to the bed, like, you know what I mean? If I wake up and I want to find something, I need something, and then I'll just flip it on. It's just, you know what I mean? It's just a little, it's like a little push-button thing.
Rather than wake up the whole bedroom.
Yeah, instead of turning on the light and the whole, you know, the whole bedroom is illuminated, just flick on this little light. It's actually really cool. Works out great. So anyway, going back to a couple of weeks ago, 2:30, I have to get up, and then, yeah, uno dos, so numero dos.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, God damn, I hate that. Middle of the night. Sit down. Well, I had the cigarette with me, right? So, I take care of the situation and the ensuing paperwork. And there was so much...
Please, I must go toilet.
There was so much paperwork. I think there's less paperwork involved in closing a home sale than there was...
Pretty major cloud deck.
Yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable. It was like an 8,000-foot cloud deck.
And were there courtesy flushes or...
No.
Just talking major cloud deck.
No. Yeah, just cloud deck.
Because you're doing this half asleep and half awake, so.
Yeah, exactly. So I just started building a thunderhead without really even realizing it. I had my own thunderhead building, like those summer afternoon thunderheads.
Hey, that sounds pretty nasty. How about a courtesy flush over there?
And I built one of those. So, and all the while, too, I've got the cigarette dangling from my mouth and all this stuff. So I've got everything going.
That's
right?
Dangerous, too, because the cigarette may drop out of you. I don't know if you got a wood floor in there, but you lose that cigarette. And
yeah, it's just a linoleum or tile or whatever.
Oh,
you know?
Tile. A tile can handle a cigarette burn. Mm-hmm. You're okay there.
Yep. And boy, have I tested it more than once.
What a cigarette look like. 6 inches long as 5-inch burn.
You got it.
On your tile floor.
There it is.
It won't burn a tile floor, though, will they?
No, no. Uh-uh. Yeah, okay. It's unfazed.
You're good.
Yeah, it's just a big cleanup, though.
Mm-hmm.
So now I've got this summer afternoon thunderhead that I've built. And I've got the cigarette going, and it's 3:30 in the morning, and I'm dangerously, I'm walking the line, right? This is one of those things where I can pass clean. So what ends up happening, I'm done with a cigarette, right? And so a lot of times I'll just kind of open my leg and go, throw it down there, right?
Yeah, sure. So you love the sound.
It's cool. I love the sound when it hits the toilet water. So I take the cigarette and go, you know, and throw it down between my legs. And promptly, boom, pass out like a light.
Ooh.
Out like a light.
Yikes.
And this is one of these things where I'm going to be out, and I'm probably going to wake up in an hour or two with my glasses on the ground.
And peel yourself off.
On the ground,
yeah.
And peel myself off the toilet is going to be one of those, because it's Saturday night.
Can I guess?
You know?
Although at least the cigarette is in the toilet.
And the cigarette's been just taken care of, so, as opposed to burning away on the floor. So somewhere along the line, I start to come up into consciousness. And I started thinking, like, something hurt. Something seems, something's in. And I started the toilet paper on fire.
With
which started
cigarette.
My balls on fire. I started a huge fire that set my balls on fire, and I singed my sack, and I was in so much pain, you can't believe it. And it was because that paper, apparently, you know what I mean, water
you built
really
up such a cloud
it.
Deck, some of the paper just went to the side, didn't
just,
land in the water.
Yes, you got it. It was just dry paper.
And you flipped your cigarette right into the paper that was stuck on the side.
Without having a clue that I did that, because I was so out of it.
That's about a one in a million. I wonder if anybody else has ever done that.
Never happened to me, ever.
Has anyone else ever done that?
And my nuts felt like a rug burn for like a week. That's why I didn't tell Trish. I was too embarrassed. Because she would have been like, oh, Michael. Oh, jeez.
You would have been in trouble.
Oh, I would have been in trouble for being so grossly irresponsible.
I'm going to have your ass burnt.
Although I have to say, in your defense, that's a pretty freaky set of circumstances.
Yeah,
I mean, that is totally not to be expected.
Yeah.
A, the paper's going to land in some
Some area of
where there's no water.
Right.
And B, that the cigarette's going to hit the dry paper.
Yeah.
That's pretty, pretty unusual.
And it's the slope of the toilet, by the way. It's the, like the design of the toilet that has that area where, you know, it's going to be dry anyway.
Oh,
you know what I mean? You know those toilets?
Right.
Some toilets, you know, you would wonder how you
it's
can
one of
build
those
up.
Like rectangular or long, oblong toilets?
Yeah, sort of an oblong toilet that's back there, exactly. So you do have that sort of driveway.
Almost like a circular football field.
Yeah.
So did
and
you
we can, we can refer to it as a driveway down to the cement pond.
So when the
and then the garage down underwater.
Did you, was there a flame that came up, or was this like heat and smoke?
Mike, I'm assuming there was a flame because...
That would have had to have been three or four inch flame.
Absolutely. Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
Oh. So you probably were dreaming that you were in pain of some kind.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you woke up and realized, I am in pain. Yeah.
Smells like a turd covered in burnt hair.
You know, okay. You know what? That drop fits like a glove.
Because I've had those deals where I'm dreaming I have a stomach ache, and then I wake up and I have a stomach ache. Oh, I hate that.
Ooh, that's the worst. There's nothing like waking up and having cramps.
Wow, what a
story. So are we blistered?
Oh, you believe that?
Are we blistered?
Yeah, are it was third degree, fourth degree, fifth degree.
It was kind of a red, like a rug burn kind of a thing. You know what I mean?
I don't think I want to know much more than that.
It wasn't pleasant for a while. It felt sunburned for a while.
Are the hair follicles at all affected?
Yeah, but there wasn't all that.
Well, you got some stubble going out?
Yeah. There's some stubble at this point in time. It's kind of like a forest that's been devastated by it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a couple of airplanes went by and dumped some orange powder on there, you know? You know, after you see those forests, they're devastated.
Yes.
And you have all the stumps and then.
I got you. Oh, man, is that funny.
Oh, man.
Has anyone
never
else...
Never happened to me in my life. Never happened since. I doubt it'll ever happen again.
Anyone else ever done that?
Has anyone started a fire in their toilet?
I bet you that's happened before. I bet you there's at least one person who could tell us something like that. But
well,
you know what? We got to get...
Makes sense, just real quick. Doesn't it make sense that that could happen to people quite a bit that have been drinking heavily?
Sure, absolutely. Because, well, when there's alcohol involved, anything is possible.
Yeah, when you're drunk and you're a smoker and you go to the bathroom, I would think that that would be a sit and duck. But anyway,